Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Oh, my goodness. I guess there will only be the wake-up call in the morning because Don Imus is gone. Gone. MSNBC dropped him. Then CBS Radio. Then remember, CBS Radio has syndicated Imus for over 60 markets, 60 stations. He's been there for 30 years. You know, he's gone, and I was reflecting upon what Imus said. I was reflecting upon that, and I every time I reflect upon it, I cannot get over the extraordinary wickedness, ugliness, racist, sexist comment. I can't get over it. Just think for a moment, and all of you that want to talk about, you don't call my show, but I know you're out there listening. They want to talk about that this is unfair, he shouldn't have gotten fired, or what was wrong with that, or other people say things like that. Let's be clear. Don Imus looked at a bunch of teenage and young women, and he called them whores. Let's be clear. He looked at them and called them whores. He doesn't know their names. He didn't know their ages. He didn't know anything about these young, beautiful women. He only saw their skin color. Because let us be clear. He said nappy-headed whores. Yeah, there were white players on the team. He wanted to make certain that anybody that looked like his daughter, his niece, his wife, his mother, his niece, that they were not included in this definition of this statement of whore. He looked at these babies and said, all I see, because all I see is their skin color and I see their gender. And only thing that comes to mind when I see African women is whores. That's what he's saying. Do you realize the enormity of that statement? He says, I see black women, therefore I see whores. When those young women talk about the pain of that, when those young women talk about their hurt of that, just imagine you walking down the street with your daughter. Some dude looks at your daughter and says, whore. You gonna lose your mind? You should. Gonna be a throwdown, you bet. You gotta understand what this racist, sexist man said. You can, not only do you have to understand it, you have to feel what this racist, sexist man said. And when you feel what this racist, sexist man said, you will understand and embrace and celebrate the fact that he lost his $1 million job. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
The latest issue of 52nd City Magazine hits the streets on Saturday with a release party at the Royale on Kings Highway from 4 to 7 p.m. The sound issue is a CD with musical, spoken word, and experimental performances by local talent. The cost of the CD is only $8. Find out more by calling 314-772-3600 or emailing Andrea at 52ndcity.com. Something musical for you from AM 920.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. In the 9 o'clock hour, don't forget, Wellness 101. Dr. Rosa Kincaid, of course, is going to be joining us for Wellness 101. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to be talking to the author of a book, On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. It's a very good book, and it's an interesting book. Sherilyn Ifill is the author of it. It's an interesting book because of its purpose, how it is addressing the issue, the legacy of lynching. And I'm going to be talking to Sherilyn Ifill in my 8 o'clock hour. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Media Matters for America. Why? Well, they're going to be telling us, well, you know what? It's good for all of us that IMUS is gone. But make no mistake, there are other people out there that are saying just as racist, just as sexist, just as intolerable statements. And they're going to be cluing us in, hipping us too. Who these people are and the other statements that are out there, that's going to be in the 7 o'clock hour. My name is Liz Brown. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's get to it. Renee.
Good morning.
Good
morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, they got rid of IMUS out there. They need to get rid of Rush Limbaugh. And the comment that Snoop Dogg made yesterday about those women going to college and saying that they're talking about women just laying at home every day, those are hoes and stuff. And I totally disagree with that, too.
Snoop said that?
Snoop Dogg said that.
He needs to worry about his all his criminal cases that he needs to be worried about. And here's the thing about it is that Snoop Dogg is a self-loathing idiot.
Right.
And he has daughters of his own.
True.
What kind of father would say something like that?
Yeah, and yesterday you said that Hillary Clinton spoke out said that that she would never go back on the show. And that
not that she would never go back on a show, that she would never go on his
show. Yeah, never go on the show. But she never did say that he should be fired.
Well, she should have.
Yeah, she never did say that, and that's the thing, you know, and because I was reading in articles last night on the Internet that Barack Obama was the only one that said that he should be without a job.
Yeah, but he only did that after the second or third day. I mean, it took him a while to come up and say anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, let's remember everything. It took him a while to say it, and he is the only presidential candidate that I'm aware of that has said he should have been fired.
Right, yeah. Because
everybody's going to be coming on board now. Everybody, now that he's been fired, everybody's going to be jumping on the IMUS bandwagon saying, well, yeah, he shouldn't have said it, and yeah, he should have been fired. So he should have said it before. Whoever needed to say it should have said it before.
Yeah, but, you know, the Bible says that the wise man is slow to speak, and that's in James. And I feel as though that you can't just rush out and say things because you have to think.
Wait a minute, Renee. He said black women were nappy-headed
hoes. No, he didn't say black. He said nappy-headed hoes.
Okay. But he's talking about black women.
Yeah,
he's talking about
white women on the team, too. People are totally forgetting about disrespect of women also.
But wait a minute. No.
Women as a whole in general, you know what I'm saying? Oh. Because you don't disrespect women, too.
Renee.
And I'm a black woman, you know, and
Renee,
I take insult.
Renee, just slow down just for a second, okay? Let's go back to being slow to this, okay? I want to start with that. Wait a minute. Said it. Let me respond to it.
Let me say something before you say it. I really like you and respect you, though. You know.
Okay. And this isn't about disrespect. This is about just fleshing out the conversation that we're having. Okay.
Right.
What I'm saying is, when you talk about being slow to stuff, when he said those women, young women, are nappy-headed hoes, there's nothing to think about. When you are on the airwaves and you live in it, wait a minute, you live in this country and you want to say that our country is a decent society, every decent American should have stood up simultaneously and said, because there wasn't any question about whether he said it or not, everybody should have said, like you said, like I said, he should be fire. There's no slow thought.
You're right
to this.
About that. But,
no,
you know,
there's
my
no
thing,
slow.
My thing, yeah, that's true, and I agree with that. But I'm saying, but people are making a big deal because he didn't say number. What about Dennis Kucinich? What about Joe Biden? What about Christopher Dodd? John McCain, Rudy Giuliani said that, oh, well, he apologized. You know,
I'm with you, Renee.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
but people like Al Sharpton mainly, you know, they come out with these outrageous comments, but you know, you can't cast one stone on one person. You got to cast one on them all.
Who's casting one outrageous stones at Al Sharpton? What are you saying?
I mean, I'm saying that he makes it just say, oh, just this one person, but all of these people are fighting for the black vote. You know what I'm saying? So why didn't they say that he should have been fired?
You're right.
Like Hillary Clinton. She didn't say he should have been fired. She just said, I'll never go on that show. But I mean, but you're still going to just out. Say this man because he's black, that's not fair. Because all of them want our vote. All of them do.
But
so
here's
you can speak out
here,
against them all. I totally disagree with that.
Here's the thing, Renette.
He's black. That's the thing.
Well, wait a minute. And here's the thing, okay? I expect you to know me because you are me. Okay?
True.
I expect you to know me because you are me. So I expect that you are going to do things because you are me.
Right.
And,
when,
and so my expectations and my demands, I'm not going to say higher, I'm going to say different. I'm going to have different expectations of you, but I am going to hold you all to the standard
that. Hold them all,
and I got to go. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I got two quick one-statement comments, and then I have a question for you. And the two quick statements are, in case people, you know, IMS is okay, but in case that's being taken care of by you and others, but yesterday some important things happened that people should be aware of, and this is when they bring them out when your attention is on something else. And that biggest one is that they can't find Karl Rove's 1,000 emails.
I think they're in the nature of more of 5,000 to 10,000 emails that are missing.
Yeah, but for the private agency that they set up in the White House by the Republican National Committee, could deal out of the White House without going through the official email.
Right.
That's my first statement, and that's what we need to watch. The next thing is that now they're asking for a surge of troops in the green zone to protect the officials in the green zone because of that bombing that they had yesterday that killed, and they say, 3 of the government officials, and now our government is saying just 1. So that is something else that you need to see. If you help them and things is getting better, they ain't getting better in the green zone. Now, my question to you is, and I need your help here because I'm a layman, your attorney. If a person has not had a trial, he can't be found not guilty. And I'm talking about the boys in Duke, the men in Duke. If this woman said that she was raped, Nifon had the right and the responsibility to go to trial and let her accuse those men in front of them and say, yes, he raped me. And let the court decide who is innocent and who is guilty. And coming out, that is a question. And my question is, am I not true in them saying that they've been found innocent? There is no innocence and they will always be guilty.
Wait a minute. And I got to go to my next caller.
Go ahead.
All we have to do is say, what did people say about O.J. after a trial?
Thank you very much.
All right.
80% of them say
said
he's still,
guilty,
and he went to a trial and was found innocent. Thank you, Liz.
All
right. You answered my question.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lee.
How you doing, Miss Brown?
I'm outstanding.
Well, you know, all I could see on the behalf of the talk show host, you know, that I watched this weekend was that they tried to flip the script and take the attention away from IMS. Put it on people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, comedians, rappers, and all other sorts of people. And what I want to know is, what do you think about them trying to take the attention away from this man and trying to put it on other black people?
Here's what I think with that, Lee. I think that it is typical of those that are committing crime to want you to look away from their committing of that crime. The fact of the matter is a white guy who makes millions of dollars, who calls black women hoes, is not going to hire black women. A white guy that calls black women hoes and nappy-headed hoes is not going to promote black women, is not going to pay them what they earn, is not going to create a work environment that is hospitable to African women. A black rapper who calls a black woman or calls black people the N-word, I like to think of it in it's this analogy. It's a difference between the John and the hooker. He's the hooker. I want to know about the John who's paying him to call black people out their names, because that's the person that I want to get. Because you get rid of the Johns, you'll get rid of the prostitutes.
Okay. Well, what about, like, for example, a person like Richard Pryor? You know, I mean, he used to use the word Negro all the time.
And then what did he see? He finally stopped using it, didn't he? He came into a conversion and developed as a human being and realized that that word was wrong and never said it again and apologized for that and took ownership of that. I believe in redemption. I think that people can change after doing bad things. And Richard Pryor, with respect to that word, did change that. And he said it was wrong, and it was wrong. And it's still wrong today.
Do you think, though, Liz, that we'll ever get to a point in this country? I mean, you know,
get to a point in this country where what?
Do you ever think it'll come a time when they'll actually sit down, I'm talking about white people, will actually sit down with black people and have an honest discussion about race?
What's going to happen for that is it's going to have to be forced. It is going to have, and you know what? Listen to my interview, in the 8 o'clock hour, on the courthouse lawn confronting the legacy of lynching, because reconciliation is one of the things that she talks about, and she has some solutions for that. So check out the interview coming up at 8. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic going on out there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is building. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Got heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays around the 44 exchange. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill all the way into 255, 270 interchange. Start to see some delays around that area. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into 5570 merge. Looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well in the landing at this hour. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to cloudy skies, chance of showers this morning, occasional showers this afternoon, high around 50 this evening, occasional rain until early morning, then rain or snow late, no snow accumulations are expected, the lows should be in the 30s. For Saturday, snow likely in the morning, rain likely in the morning and afternoon, with a no snow accumulations, the highs in the mid-40s. For Saturday evening, mostly cloudy again, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Lows in the lower 30s, and Sunday not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program,
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, hon, did you know that if a loan was paid off early, you could get money back for the credit insurance?
Yeah, I think I saw a legal notice on that.
Yeah, it's on car loans and boats, appliances, lots of things.
If you borrowed money and the loan was paid off early, you could get money from a court settlement. To learn how to ask for a payment, exclude yourself, object, or take other steps, call 1-800-896-5685.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Say payback. Don Imus don't have a job no more. Little bit payback. Little bit payback. If you say horrible things about human beings, then there should be a punishment for that. If you want to maintain that you live in a decent society, no decent society should be willing to sustain a person who has access to millions of people through the publicly owned airwaves. No decent society should stand still for, should embrace, should be tolerant of a person who would get on the radio and call young women whores, nappy-headed whores. There is so much rage in that statement. There really is. There is so much rage and hate in that statement. It's hard to, impossible to quantify. How do you look at these young women and call them whores? Where does that rage come from? And again, he called out. He made it clear. I'm not talking about the white young women on that team. I'm talking about the African ones. And how do I make sure that you know who I'm calling a whore? I said, nappy-headed whore. Oh. 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 Danielle.
Good morning. How you doing, Liz?
Daniel, good morning.
I'd like to piggyback on a comment that you made earlier about him being a giant. And you like to know who the hookers are? In my opinion, the hookers would be NBC, CBS, and all of America. Normally, in the situation, if you have a person that's prostituting themselves, they have to be supported by their giant.
By their what? John.
By their John, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. That's what I said. I want to focus on the Johns, not the prostitutes.
And then my second thought brings me to, that guy's been in the media business for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what type of atmosphere or environment was created to make him feel comfortable enough that he could make a statement like that, not have any repercussions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Imagine the terrorized environment that the women of African descent have at CBS and MSNBC, those few that are there.
Now they're trying to put a focus on the reason that they fired this guy was based on all the repercussions that they got or feedback they got from black journalists. The bottom line is, when those big corporations started pulling out lists, that's when those guys started responding.
I dig it both. I dig it both. I like the fact that the companies pulled out because of us. I like the way that CBS responded because of them or because of us. I'm digging it both ways.
Yeah. And then my third question is, it said that he had a black executive producer.
Who did?
Don Imus. Now, where is this guy at? What is his position? Do you understand where I'm coming from, Liz?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how much truth it is to that, but they keep hollering. I watched Mary Kay here.
What does that mean? Okay, what does that mean that you have a black executive producer? So what does that mean?
It means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing.
Yes. But what they're trying to say, well, his producer was cool. Your producer, he's not going to be able to dictate everything that comes out of your mouth when you're working in the
music. Oh, so they're blaming him.
The show together.
The only thing that I see consistent about Imus is trying to find a way to blame this on a black guy.
Exactly.
That's all. I blame it on black person. I'm looking for a black person to try to stick this to instead of sticking it to myself. And the fact of the matter is that he's the one who opened his mouth and giggled and laughed and called these young women whores.
And the scary thing about it, most of America, white America, thinks that what he did was all right. I've been on the internet checking the polls. They think that he's identified that the media is playing it up too much. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Well,
you know that we're in pretty bad shape as a society.
But here's the thing. CBS fired him anyway, and MSNBC fired him anyway. So
that's the bottom line.
He's not getting a paycheck today. That's all I know. He's not getting a paycheck today. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
That's the only thing I want to say. I've been watching a lot of these channels just to see the reaction and, you know, like I said, also the news and everything. And it's funny for all these guests they have on her, all these so-called black people who, oh, it's wrong. And all this whole problem, this situation, what he said, it's a shame that they're trying to minimize it and blame it on, well, it's the rap thing that did it.
And again, if we go to rap, and we look at some of the lyrics in rap, and we look at some of the lyrics in a lot of different types of songs, I'm not looking at the singer and the writer of the song first. I'm looking for his John.
Thank you.
And his John is a person that looks exactly like Imus.
That's right.
Who was it? Ice-T? Ice-T? Somebody. The one that did Cop Killers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sure didn't let him put that song out, did they?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They pulled that album, didn't they? Don't tell me that I want to see the Johns in this, okay? Want to see the people that look like Imus and are as old as Imus. They're the ones that are putting this music out here.
Yeah, but to hear the black people tomorrow, well, you know, we got to understand, you know,
that's some black folks. Okay, most black folks you talk to ain't saying that.
I'm specifically talking about Jason Whitlock, you know, the writer for Kansas City, Star, and the journalist for Kansas City, and Star.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, and he's an idiot. He's a self-loathing idiot.
I mean, to say all people who do rap, I guess I'm not supporting what the rap people say in rap.
I'm looking at the John. I'm not looking at the one who has prostituted himself or herself to get a record deal. Because they're getting ripped off in all kinds of ways from the amount of money they get paid, from the cuts that they're taking, the industry. I'm looking for the John. Okay?
Right.
The one that is paying for this.
And
that is the guy that looks just like Imus that says it's okay to use the N-word in rap song. The one that says it's okay to call women out their name. The one that said for Nelly, we gonna go ahead with this video where we swipe a credit card down the tookish of a young black woman. I'm looking for the dude that gave that the green light because it wasn't Nelly. It wasn't Nelly. Nelly shouldn't have done it. Nelly shouldn't have done it. Shame on Nelly for doing it. But the fact of the matter is that Nelly couldn't have done it if the Imus looking dude hadn't said two thumbs up because that's a nappy headed hoe anyway.
That's right. The last thing I'm going to say before I go is one thing I did agree with him that the rappers, it's a shame. Like you said, the John's not going to get punched, but the rappers, they're next. They're going to go for them next.
And I want to see the John.
Me too.
I want to see the John.
Thanks a lot, Ms.
1-877-920-WGNU. Quincy Troop.
Good morning, my sister.
Good morning.
I was lying in the bed listening to these black men this morning, and I'm very proud to hear them coming out this morning and talking about this issue. But I think the other issue we need to talk about that I haven't heard anybody talk about, I'm sure they are out there talking about it, and that is the awesome purchasing power that black people have. And I'm saying that because everybody talked about the progression of why King was killed. But when King was killed, he was talking about national boycotts. He was talking about why we buy people's products and they don't have us in their advertisements and they don't have us on their jobs. And if you go back and look at when he shifted that gear, that's when they killed him. So that's why those big companies start pulling out, because of the purchasing power of black people. And we are a commerce place. And we spend our money, and we spend our money fast. And turning that money out and turning the money over is what really pulled the trigger. I don't think any of them care about us, but I think it was the dollar bill and the money and the bottom line is what caused them to fire us.
Pressure, money, pressure and money, and of people of African descent.
Yeah, but if those sponsors had never pulled out, he'd have never lost his job.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Also, I think that there were a lot of phone calls that were made to folks saying, you know what, I can never come on his show again. And the pull of Imus's show was the fact that politicians dropped in and they could talk for long periods of time and have these conversations and stuff. Well, with people saying, I cannot afford nobody in a close presidential race like this. Nobody can afford to come on that. In a closely numbered United States Senate, senators can't afford to come on that show. So it lost all of that.
It lost some of it, but it was the National Democratic Party's chief strategist that says that he would go back on Imus's show.
I played his wise voice yesterday. That's a DLC. Yeah. That's a Democratic Leadership Council, a chief strategist.
Yeah, whoever it was.
Okay. We're talking about James Carville.
Who he was,
yeah,
and who he represented.
Absolutely.
When he was on the show.
And James Carville said it, and his wife, I played his wife's voice yesterday on the Fox Attacks Blacks piece that I had on at 9 o'clock, and his wife was saying, black people, I just don't understand why they just let people lead them around by the nose. So it's consistent. Of course James Carville didn't care about that. Of course he didn't. It mean nothing to him. Why he care about women, young African women being called hoes? He doesn't have a problem with that.
Well, I hope that the momentum behind this will create a better lateral relationship between black men and black women, where they have mutual respect for each other's time, energy, monies, and bodies.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
St. Louis. This is Sir Sax inviting you to a show called the Gospel Skate Party every Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a program in which I bring you the best in Christian rap, righteous R&G, a taste of that holy hip-hop, etc., etc. It's heard right here on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. Don't forget, the Gospel Skate Party every Friday at 10 p.m. Get your skates on and skate with Sir Sax.
The award-winning Wake Up Call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Welcome back. We were born in majesty. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Michael.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. This is more of a comment than anything else. People see the bad rep that's going on as a disease. I see it more as a symptom of a much bigger problem, because what made them put out such words is that?
What made who put out what words?
Put out such lyrics as that.
Who made who? Made who? Who, huh? You're breaking up on me. Who made who put out the lyrics?
As regards to the lyrics as disrespected that Black women, what is the cause of all of that?
But first we have to say who put it out,
right?
Don't we? And if we start with who put it out, we have to start with the record labels. We have to start with the people that make the decisions about what records are going to be released and what records are not, what songs are going to be released and what songs are not. So the same people that are making the decision, that the same type of people, Don Imus looks just like the people that are making those decisions. It's very consistent. We don't have to ask the question about the symptom of the disease. We know what the disease is. It's racism. And the disease is racism, and it's being perpetrated by multi-million dollar white guys that own most of these record companies. Now, is that to say that the young folks that write this stuff bear no responsibility? Of course not. Of course not. They bear some responsibility in this. But we got to look at the top of this. And when you look at the top of this, who's making the decision for those albums to go out? I can write any doggone song I want. See if I can write a song called Cop Killer and see if they let me put that song out there. You think I could? You think I could go to CBS Records and say, here's a song about killing police officers? You think they put that song out there? Of course they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. But would they put a song out there about Nelly and put a video out there about Nelly with a credit card down the tuchus of a young Black woman? Of course they would. They say yes and no, and they say yes to this stuff.
It's time to shut them down then.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Michael. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carphone.
Shut them down then.
Turn your radio down. Carphone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Yes. Those are terrible words that I used to use. That take me back to the book that I read called 100 Years of Lynching.
Okay.
That's the kind of language that Blacks were called back then, and it was that's some of the worst language that one could use. But I just reflected back on that book, and that reflects the actions of a devil. That's all I got to say to that, because that's what that is. Anyone that's opposite of God makes him or herself a devil. That cannot be the language of God. God doesn't use that kind of trashy language. That's the devil's language. That's all I got to say to that, Ms. Brown.
Thanks
Thank you
for your call. And please stay with me all morning long. We have an amazing show shows ready for you. In the 9 o'clock hour, of course, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Rosa Kincaid with at Wellness 101. And we're going to be talking about some alternatives for women that are facing fibroids. We're going to be talking about that, so you don't want to miss that show. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm having a conversation with the author of On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. I'm going to be talking to the author, Sherilyn Eiffel, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. And it's a different take on lynching. Confronting the legacy. What do we do now that we know this? And that's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. And then in the next hour, I'm going to be joined by folks from Media Matters for America. You think that what I just said was bad? Oh, well, they've got a whole lot of other stuff to say about what's being said over the airwaves. And I'm going to have that in the 7 o'clock hour. So stay with me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Joyce.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been listening for several days, and I'm just wondering why Caucasian women who, specifically the ones that have gone out and gotten biracial children, are not calling in with comments. At least I'm not hearing their voices, because this affects their children as well. And their children are not seen as white children. They, too, are seen as Imus described. He was talking to their children, too. And it's ironic that the movie Roots is being shown during this period of time. It gives us an opportunity to really look and see the Imuses and that they still exist.
And well, with respect to what women and their children, no one has called up and identified themselves as being in that circumstance, so I don't know, and I don't think any of us know. But I do think that we're hearing a lot. In fact, I had the president of NOW on my show on Monday. And she talked about, and she is a white woman, and she was talking about how NOW came out immediately and called for the firing of Imus because of the sexist, racist comments that were made, statements that were made.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only speak to that.
Right. Okay.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Rudy.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good
Love
morning.
The show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering, dealing with Al Sharpton, there was a documentary when he was running for president, for example, and talked about James Brown, but it also said that he was the only person that Martin Luther King Jr. baptized. So it was on TV about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it makes me understand why the attacks are on him. No one ever talks about it, but then they hold on to the Martin Luther King dream, and yet he, for some reason, and it was before the death, he is the one person that was baptized by Martin Luther King. A lot of black people don't know that.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same the attack on the black women, I believe, for all the men standing up in America, black men, I think it's a good thing because we came from that, and it was y'all. It wasn't Jesus. We worshipped our woman. I agree with Dr. What's his name? Joe Hockenheim and Clark.
Okay.
That you were the ones. You were the ones. Before they gave us Jesus, the black man, the goddess, we worship them. And I think people know that if we once we unite, that's it.
Thanks for your call. Vernon.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I got a short question for you. Shouldn't this be a wake-up call to all the young boys and girls in school today? If they can see this can happen to young, intelligent black college women, whether their thoughts and thinking that you have to have an education in order to see their life regardless of your color. And if you be dropping out of school and acting like slow motion and listening to your rap music is not going to cover not one cent of success in life.
Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, when we come back, I'm going to be talking to Carl Frisch. He's with Media Matters for America. You think what I just said was bad? Well, there's a whole lot of other talk out there that you need to be made aware of, and we're going to do that this morning when I have a conversation with Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It's great for skiers if you have to travel in it. Not so much. A major winter storm has the plains in the Midwest in its grip this third week of spring. ABC Sam Champion is braving it in Denver, watching the system track east.
By the time this storm is done and pulls off the coast, two-thirds of the country will have been beneath it.
Now, the system could go up the east coast and develop into a powerful nor'easter later this weekend. And if you think this kind of thing doesn't happen too often, you're wrong.
There's a perception out there that just because the calendar says spring that we don't get any of these big storms that come across the weather map, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Meteorologist Dan Feltgren with the National Weather Service.
If you want to send hate mail, send it to my husband. I mean, don't be sending hate mail to these young women.
There's a different Imus on the Imus in the Morning nationally syndicated radio show today. Deirdre Imus is behind the mic. Her husband Don was fired yesterday, the culmination of over a week of protests over some racially charged comments he made about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. Mrs. Imus says they met with the team last night and the athletes told them they had received hate mail.
We were able to really dialogue. I thought it was productive. I am extremely proud of our 10 young basketball members.
That's Coach C. Vivian Stringer. New Jersey Governor John Corzine was going to sit in on the meeting, but he didn't make it. He was critically injured in a car crash yesterday.
Could be days or weeks before the governor is considered lucid enough to conduct any state business here at the hospital, or even if he ultimately gets back to the governor's mansion to do some more recovery. And it could be 6 months before he's up and around, still with a cast and certainly a rod in his femur. Hopefully that will ultimately lead to healing in his life.
ABC's Ken Rosado in Camden, New Jersey. Authorities in Stillwater, Minnesota say a newborn baby was stabbed more than 100 times by its teenage mother just after she gave birth on a laundry room floor. Police say she threw the child in a garbage can. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So today we're just here for floors, right?
Right. Hardwood floors for the study.
And the kitchen.
Oh, and new kitchen cabinets. And counters.
Yeah, I was thinking it's about time the kids started paying rent. You don't have to break the bank, because right now we have special deferred financing on purchases store-wide when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
In the search for ways to improve health care, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
The South Carolina Senate has softened its version of a controversial anti-abortion bill. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
The bill would have required women to first see an ultrasound image of their fetus before terminating a pregnancy, saying it forces a woman to do something against her will. A South Carolina Senate panel dropped the requirement. Under the new proposal, a doctor must tell women they have the right to see the ultrasound. The amended version is expected to easily pass the Senate and likely lead to a showdown with the House, which passed a version forcing women to see the ultrasound. Supporters believe seeing an image of the fetus will make women change their minds about having an abortion. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
If you are unattached, Denver is the place for you to be. The Mile High City is tops on Forbes magazine's annual list of the best cities for singles. It's based on nightlife, culture, job growth, and the number of other singles. Boston, Phoenix, the San Francisco, Oakland area, and New York round out the top five. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, two pedestrians are dead after separate traffic accidents. 88-year-old Oliver Ledecky of Murfreesboro, Illinois, was killed yesterday morning when he was struck by a pickup truck in Jefferson County. It's unclear if charges will be filed in connection with the accident. 78-year-old Aliyah Tellman of Chesterfield was struck and killed by an SUV early yesterday morning as she was crossing Clarkson Road. No charges are expected to be filed in that incident. A popular brand of mouthwash is being recalled because of possible contamination. Johnson & Johnson has recalled a recently launched Listerine plaque-detecting rinse marketed primarily for use by children. Recent testing revealed that the product was contaminated with microorganisms. The company has recalled all 4 million bottles of Glacier Mint and Bubble Blast flavors of Listerine Agent Cool Blue. The recall covers all lots sold or distributed since the product's launch last year. The recall does not include any other Listerine products, including traditional versions. Finally this hour, the city of Fairview Heights has banned spitting on public property. The new ordinance was passed last week, and the city calls it an issue of public health and safety. The intent is said to be to protect police from being the target of spit, as well as a public health concern since spit spreads disease. The ordinance takes effect within the next 30 days, and the penalty for violators is a possible $500 fine. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 at Dupo and Route 3. Look for a traffic building there. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom through Butler Hill. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to a vehicle fire as reported south of Butler Hill Road. Northbound 55 at 3200 South Broadway into 44. Expect some delays there. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. You've got some slow traffic going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Look for some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry all the way back through Gravois. Look for some delays around the 44 exchange. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight. Traffic's building. Westbound Kingbridge traffic. Look for some sluggish traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into the landing, and westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to cloudy skies, chance of showers this morning and this afternoon with a high around 50. This evening, occasional rain till morning, then occasional rain and snow. Late, no snow accumulations are expected with a low in the upper 30s. Saturday, cloudy, snow likely early in the morning, then snow rain changing in the afternoon. No snow accumulations are expected as the high will be in the mid-40s. Then on Sunday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your Traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. Now, well, Imus is not on the air anymore. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about that. We have been talking about that. 30 years on the air, over 60 radio stations. Even his wife, trying to push her book, is having a problem in this atmosphere. There's been much talk about the racist and sexist words used by Don Imus. What there hasn't been much talk about are the other words that are still on the airwaves. We need to talk about that because is Imus the tip of the iceberg? The tip of that racist, intolerant, hateful, ugly iceberg. Well, let's have a conversation about that. I'm going to talk to Carl Frisch. He is a spokesperson for Media Matters for America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Is this just the tip of the iceberg, Carl?
Absolutely. If anything this has done, it's brought to light all of the other cast of characters, these serial offenders on the other networks and on talk radio in general, that have been operating in the shadows for years.
And what I'd like to do, because most people cannot imagine the things that have been said out there, so we have to say them. So if you'd give us some examples of some of the types of comments that we're talking about.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that I'm simply quoting these people.
Absolutely. These are all quotes.
Right. And the interesting thing is when you say these things, people are like, I can't believe they would ever say that. Well, That's because you don't listen to their shows every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just some examples. Rush Limbaugh calling Barack Obama a African American. You have Glenn Beck calling Hillary Clinton the stereotypical bitch. Excuse me. You've got Glenn Beck, host from CNN, asking Congressman Ellis, the first Muslim member of Congress, asking him, prove to me that you're not working with the enemy. And the list goes on and on and on. You've got Michael Savage calling a transgendered murder victim a psychopath and basically saying that they deserved it.
What about Boretz with talking about Representative Cynthia McKinney?
Oh, I believe he called her a gutter slut.
Ghetto looks like a ghetto slut.
Right, exactly. So,
he also suggested that Katrina victims, well, you can't find a job, you might as well be a prostitute.
Right. It's disgusting. And, you know, you and I could go back and forth saying these things for the duration of your broadcast, for the rest of your broadcast, for its entire, lifespan. because it really does happen on a daily basis.
And so what does what happened to IMUS, how does that pose an opportunity for us?
Well, first, we're
going to take a break on that. Hold that thought, please. I'm talking to Carl Frisch. He's the spokesperson for Media Matters for America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mr. Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little something to help you get through the day, if you could. It was more than a tragedy. Emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky. We try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God. Who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man. Make plans. Listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions. We should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or dies? Breathe or stops. All this judgments on other lives. Needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause Pat Buchanan say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things that
they done. Welcome back. Welcome back, Tupac. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. This hour, I'm having a conversation with the spokesperson for Media Matters for America from Washington, D.C., Carl Frisch, and we're talking about the aftermath of IMUS. After the removal of IMUS, what should we be looking at? And Carl?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important that this success is not, leave everybody there saying, okay, I'll just move on with the rest of my life now, because, like I said, this type of behavior happens every day on talk radio and cable news. It's important that the networks that broadcast programs take a step back, reevaluate what they're doing, and see if their broadcasts are meeting that level. Because I do think that the bar has been raised. These hosts should look at Don Imus as an example of what can happen when they say these types of things.
Okay, but here's the challenge to that, Carl. As I see it, we have someone like Bortz saying Islam is a violent religion. This Muhammad guy is a phony rag picker, and on and on, and calling Cindy Sheehan a lunatic, a moonbat, a crazy broad. All of those things didn't resonate the way that what Imus said resonated. And why do you think that is? And if it resonated for different reasons, how do we get to the people like Bortz?
I think what I've heard most often in terms of why is this different, why did this, you know, get headlines, and I think it's probably partially true, is that the women that were, you know, insulted in this instance really were not public figures, you know. They were just doing what they should have been doing, you know, being students, being athletes.
And they're kids.
Right, and they are kids. But at the end of the day, racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, homophobia has no place being put on the backs of student athletes or on the backs of public officials. So I think what we need to do is step back and say we're not accepting anything less than an eradication of the type of language.
It's not fair game.
Go ahead.
It's not fair game.
Right. And, you know, regardless of if you're calling Barack Obama a African-American or if you're calling my daughter a African-American, it is not appropriate.
And so how – what is your – are you surprised that CBS killed a show? And this quickly?
I'm surprised that they finally took action. You know, the first time around with this, at the beginning of the week when MSNBC, you know, said that his simulcast would be suspended for 2 weeks, and then CBS Radio followed suit with no comment, I kind of felt that perhaps CBS would do the same thing that they did the first time around. You know, what's shocking to me is that we continue to discuss this largely as a first-time incident. And, you know, Don Imus has a long history of these types of remarks. And had they taken it this seriously from the first time it happened, perhaps Don Imus would be rehabilitated and not using this type of language by now. You know, unfortunately, he's not the only offender. There are other people out there, you know, on CNN, on Fox News, on the cable, on the other cable networks, on talk radio, every day saying this type of things. And I think it's time for people to turn their energies towards making sure that those airwaves, the public's airwaves, are not used to disseminate hate.
And that's an important point, the public airwaves. Explain why that's different. It's not like two people sitting around in a bar chatting it up. These are public airwaves. Explain that.
Well, you know, the first and most important thing to remember is that the freedom of speech that we all get under this Constitution in this great country does not entitle one to their own radio program. Does not entitle one to their own television program. So it's important that when somebody is successful enough to get one of those things, that they use these airwaves that are licensed by the government on our behalf to these corporations to put programming on, that those airwaves are used respectfully.
Some people would look at this, Carl, and say that this is just a partisan attack. This is about, because you talk about the Tucker Carlson, you talk about the Rush Limbaughs, you talk about the O'Reillys, you talk about the Bortz. They're all right-wing, radical conservatives. And you listen to Imus, and he's a supporter of John McCain. And what do you say when people say that this is just an effort of the liberals trying to get it at Republican free speech?
Well, I think we all have the exact same free speech. I would say that many would argue that Don Imus was not a conservative. I think he's much harder to define. In terms of these other hosts, it just happens to be that some of the largest talk radio hosts in the country happen to be conservative and happen to spew venom on a daily basis. So we're going to go where we see it. And these right-wing conservative hosts should be put on notice that sexist, homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic, being offensive against people based on where they're from is not acceptable. You are more than welcome to talk about these issues, but if you can't do it in a respectful manner, as my mama used to say, just keep your mouth shut.
And do you think, though, Carl, that my concern is that this Imus situation and the fact that he was removed, that we had thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, because I had the president of Now on my show on Monday on, and she was talking about the hundreds of thousands of hits that their website has gotten as a result of their stance that they've taken on pulling Imus from the air. Do you think that there's a chance of the bar now being set that we have to have this many advertisers pull off of a station before we get rid of someone like Imus, so that we have to have these many calls in order for someone to get pulled off the air like Imus did? Are you concerned at all that the bar may be set so high now that this is what has to happen before?
No, I think that all in all, this effort was so many layers deep, and it took on so many different instances. I don't think it would have been possible without the support of any one of these groups or without the public outcry. I think from varying levels, it would really depend on the instance, what the show was, what had been said. But what I do think we've done here is this is a fabulous dress rehearsal in the theater that is holding these hosts accountable. And I think that I don't think anybody's going to expect that a certain threshold is met when calling on advertisers to pull out, or that you must get a certain number of emails. I think that these shows shun this kind of pressure in all of its forms. I also think it's going to be hard for us to look back at Imus and say, what was the tipping point? Because we're not privy to the discussions that were being had at NBC or CBS Radio. All we can say is that, the activism of all the civil rights groups and the women's groups and the gay and lesbian groups and Media Matters and people in the grassroots and online and in the blogosphere, I think that each one of those played an important part in making sure that this could happen.
1-877-920-WGNU. We have a call here. Tim, you have a question or comment for my guest, Carl Frisch? Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, Liz.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your show for the last hour or so, and I'd like to ask you to stop with the selective outrage. You were saying earlier that you want to go after the producers, the white producers, instead of the rappers who have the words coming out of their mouths. No, you want to go after the producers that the words aren't coming out of their mouths. No, you're right. They are allowing it to be done, to be recorded, but the words aren't coming out of their mouths.
Well, and I guess, Tim, and let me respond to that really quickly, because I was talking about the issue of raising of the words that are being used on some rap songs. And like I said then, and I'll say it again now, when we're talking about an issue like this, I am more focused on the John than I am on the person that's engaging in an act of prostitution. Those words would not be able to come out of those rappers' mouths if there wasn't a person that looked like a Don Imus in CBS Records, all of these other record companies saying yes to that record. And my proof of that, Tim, is the fact that I know that not a single record company, no matter what rapper said, wrote it down, would not produce a record or release a record that said, I want to kill police officers. They wouldn't do it.
No, they would not do it.
And no matter how many little rappers wrote the song and wanted to say it out their mouth, they wouldn't release the record.
Okay, no. The words would not be produced if the rappers would not say them.
The words would not be on a record or sold.
No, I'm not going to use that kind of language.
Okay. And again.
I decided to start in a different place, Tim. I'm not going to use that kind of language.
Okay, I hear exactly what you're saying, Tim, but I'm saying I want to start at the top of the food chain. That's where I'm saying that I want to start. I want to start at the top of the food chain. Yes, Carl.
And Liz, you know, I think when we relate this to cable television, we're talking about a different level and it's a completely different thing.
Okay, you break. Okay, Carl, we lost you. We're going to have to come back and try to get Carl Frisch. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a quick break here, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm talking to Carl Frisch. He's with Media Matters for America. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to continue this conversation. Please don't go anywhere.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Traffic's lighter than normal. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look, heavy volume going on there. Southbound 255 at Dupo and Route 3 in Columbia. There's an accident on the right. Ramp to Illinois, Route 3, westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for traffic lighter than normal. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. No delays except for some in the left lanes as you're rolling across the bridge. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Look for traffic lighter than normal. And eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for some slowdowns there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to cloudy skies, chance of showers, and occasional showers this afternoon. High around 50 this evening. Occasional rain till early morning, then rain and snow late. No snow accumulations are expected. The lows will be in the upper 30s for Saturday. Cloudy, snow likely in the morning, rain likely in the morning and afternoon. No snow accumulations are expected as the temps will be around the mid-40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Praise the Lord, church family. It's me, Pastor E to the J to the D. Yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loop on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. And we just praising him a while. Check it out, church family. We got a brand new broadcast coming at you. It's the Friday Night Radio Broadcast Fellowship Hour. Every Friday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on your W, my W, IWGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, ooh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My guest this hour is the spokesperson for Media Matters for America, Carl Frisch. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Carl, welcome back. You were
saying, sorry about that.
That's okay. You were talking about, we had a caller that called and was talking about rap music and who do you blame, the rappers or the producers, and you wanted to make a distinction.
Well, the first thing I would say is I find it troubling when all of, you know, I'm a white guy. The first reaction I have is not to shift the argument of discussing Don Imus's behavior to African Americans. I find it troubling that far too often in the discussions about this incident, white folks keep on trying to turn this into a discussion about black folks.
Imus did that initially when after he got back from Al Sharpton's show. He said it's all about black folks. Y'all been doing it forever, so
right.
You know it's your fault. And then,
we can have this discussion about rap music and hip hop music, and I think Reverend Jackson and Sharpton have been doing that for quite some time, and we can have that discussion. But you know, I've heard it said that when 50 Cent gets his own show on MSNBC. Then we can talk apples and apples, but until then, we're talking apples and oranges.
And that's the other piece of it. There is no, because I heard Juan Williams talking this morning. I just had to turn it off because it was just making me sick. He was talking about that it just doesn't seem fair that if a black person were to say, if black people say this kind of stuff all the time on the air and they don't lose their jobs. First of all, I'm unaware of that. Second of all, how do you compare a person on a 20,000 watt, 5,000 watt, 500 watt station to an Imus who is reaching millions and millions and millions of people? And thirdly, show me that where that has happened, because I've known plenty of rappers that have lost their jobs for saying plenty of things.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And, you know, like I said, they're two different things. We can have the discussion about both. They're not mutually exclusive. I'm offended when somebody shifts from talking about this incident so that they can talk about the other, because we should be able to have both conversations. But it just bothers me greatly when I see people shift without focusing on this issue to other issues that are completely different. I think it's true that if we had a person that does rap or hip hop music hosting a show on MSNBC, CNN, or Fox News, we could hold them to the same standard that we're holding Don Imus.
But don't they first have to hire him? And let's have that discussion.
Right, we've got one African American host on any of the cable networks. We've got Allison Stewart, who hosts the most on MSNBC in the middle of the afternoon. So, you know.
So let's have that discussion first. Okay.
Right.
Hire us so that you can fire us, okay?
Right.
You know? Because we're not there. We are absolutely
and,
happy.
You know, we've had quite a few African-Americans on to discuss this issue on cable television. I just hope that they don't disappear when people decide that IMUS is no longer worth talking about.
Well, as a woman of African descent watching it happen, we do disappear. They come to us in these issues, and then you can look at the show with Tim Russert every Sunday. When Katrina was hot, I saw a couple of black folks on there more frequently. And once Katrina was not hot, didn't see him anymore.
Back to the good old boys.
Beg your pardon?
Back to the good old boys.
Exactly. So with respect to the IMUS issue and with respect to all of these other comments that other radio and our television show hosts have made, has anyone been punished for any of these things outside of IMUS? Do
well,
we see any kind of punishment?
In 2003, Michael Savage, who had been hired by MSNBC to have his own television show, he's the number three nationally syndicated conservative talk radio host behind Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. He was fired by MSNBC. I guess we see a pattern of MSNBC hiring folks that are likely to make outrageous remarks. But he was fired in 2003 for telling a caller into his show that they were a sodomite and that he hoped they would die from AIDS.
Jesus.
So, you know, we have seen action taken. But, you know, it really takes a lot of effort to bring it to the attention of the media, to have the media pay attention long enough for action to be taken.
What do you make of the political response to this? Because, you know, we started our presidential campaign season early. People are in campaign mode in April of 2007. How much do you think, or what did you see in terms of political response to this IMUS piece, and what do you think of how much the political response was to this that had an impact on the decision not to or to take away his show?
Well, I can tell you that Media Matters did an item regarding Hillary Clinton and IMUS's broadcast, and in that item we talked about how several people in the media were trying to say, you know, what were the presidential candidates going to do? Hillary Clinton hadn't commented before, and she's been on a show. Well, that lacked complete context because anybody who watches IMUS realizes that Hillary and Bill Clinton have been banned from his show since he made those remarks at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 1993. So they haven't been on in, you know, a good 16 or 17 years.
And what were those comments?
Oh, they were, you know, there were pot-smoking references.
Oh, okay.
There was, you know, jokes about President Clinton possibly cheating on Hillary. He did an impersonation of Clinton and said, yeah, baby, yeah. So, you know, it was completely inappropriate for its time. The White House Correspondents' Dinner Association issued a public apology and asked C-SPAN to quit airing the remarks. So she hadn't been on in, you know, a good 15 years, and in part because IMUS had banned the Clintons from going on. But, of course, that didn't make it into the coverage about leaders speaking out on this. I think we saw Barack Obama come out and chastise IMUS, and I think that sent the right message. But the worst of all was Senator McCain and Governor Mike Huckabee completely – you know, it's one thing to accept an apology. I think anybody with kids knows that an apology is only good as far as the change is made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with penance comes change. So, you know, for McCain and Huckabee to accept the apology outright and, you know, and say, I'll go on a show again, he apologized, and I take him at his word. Well, you know, okay, fine. What we did when he apologized was said, okay, he apologized, great, fine, good. But let's look at his history of these types of remarks and apologies. He does this every couple of years with his, you know, I'm so sorry, it'll never happen again. So my question, you know, at the time for McCain and Huckabee was, how many times does he get to make these mistakes before you're going to hold him accountable?
And did we hear anything from other elected officials?
Members of the Congressional Black Caucus were right out in front. You know, I think this was a true team effort from Rainbow Push and Al Sharpton's National Action Network to the NAACP to the National Organization for Women to the Feminist Majority to Media Matters to members of the Congressional Black Caucus and members of Congress to, you know, Reverends Jackson and Sharpton, you really had a broad-based coalition of people calling for accountability here.
And in terms of the concern that NBC had about not being able to get political people on anymore if the show was on, you think that had something to do with it as well?
I think, you know, it's MSNBC. These people will try to get on any show that they can get on.
But it certainly would have really challenged people if Imus had been left on, because who could afford to, especially in a race that is as close as it is right now, who could afford to go on the show?
No, I completely agree. And part of what we did in this struggle to get accountability, we released a listing of every guest that Dawn Imus had on his show since the beginning of the year, just so that reporters and those in the media could look at it and say, okay, here are the people that go on week after week, day after day. And, you know, are they going to hold Imus accountable, whether they be politicians, whether they be members of the media elite? So, you know, we were basically saying, okay, Tim Russert, put up or shut up. What do you have to say about this? You go on almost every week.
Almost every week Tim Russert
right.
is on that show.
And
Harold Ford. Harold Ford is a regular on that show.
Exactly. So the question becomes, okay, and we're not saying that they necessarily shouldn't go on or that they should go on. The question becomes, okay, explain to us your feelings about this, and then if you choose to go on, tell us why you're going to continue doing this, because enabling Imus's behavior is what brought us to this point.
And the other piece of it is that they know about this other stuff, too, and they went on anyway. So.
Absolutely. I think we heard Craig Crawford yesterday say, well, I didn't know about this other stuff because he doesn't say it when I'm on.
Mm. Well, it didn't matter
because he didn't say it when I was on. And, you know, if that's the attitude, all you're doing is elevating Imus to a level at which he doesn't belong.
And what do we make then? I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to have some revelations, too. You look at James Carville. He said, I don't care. I'm going back on. And he did. Wasn't he on the next day?
I don't think he was on the next day. I think the next day was Tom Oliphant
and
a couple of journalists and whatnot. He did defend him, though.
Yes,
and,
he did.
You know, there were many from the left and from the right that defended his remarks. And, you know, simply put, our question was, if you're going to go on again, are you going to hold him accountable or are you going to act like nothing ever happened?
Mm. So what should people do? What do you recommend that people do with respect to all of these? I mean, you know, O'Reilly and Boris, and I want to get back to that. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Carl Frisch, spokesperson for Media Matters for America. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get with me. I will get to some of your calls when we come back. Stay with us. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The sweet sounds of music
and glorious songs of inspiration broadcast
has been a Sunday morning tradition in St. Louis
for over 30 years. We bring you the best loved songs on the gospel scene.
Plus late-breaking church news.
Words of inspiration.
And, well, just a whole lot of fun.
Join me, Evangelist Stella Noreen.
And me, Brother Mel St. Clair. Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m.
Here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit?
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Hello, morning. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we are talking to Carl Frisch. He's a spokesperson for Media Matters for America. And we're talking about after Imus. What is the world going to be like after Imus? Time for a change in the wake of Imus' firing? That's what we're talking about. And Carl, after Imus, what should people be doing?
You know, I think the first thing that people need to do is take a second and realize that this is just the beginning. And that there are a wide variety of people that have their own shows on cable and talk radio that need to be held accountable. The second thing that people can do, which is kind of self-serving for us as an organization, the way that you're going to find out when these types of things are happening is by going to our website, mediamatters.org, and signing up for our action updates. Because the quickest way for you to find out when something like this happens again is when we clip the video, put up the transcript, and send out an email to let people know about it.
And
so if people go to mediamatters.org, they can sign up for those updates.
And as an attorney, I really, really appreciate your website because you give the evidence and you make the evidence specific and you make the evidence clear that people can check your whatever you're saying has happened. They can go and check and find out for themselves that this is actually what has happened, and you make a compelling case every time you send out a newsletter. So I encourage people to get on your list because it is a very, very, very thorough website.
Well, we try to take our own personalities and political opinions out of the equation so that everything that we send out goes through a vigorous fact-checking process to make sure that the transcript is identical to the video and that it has full context. That way, the items speak for themselves, and we don't have to get into debates about the content of the items.
And it's interesting that O'Reilly won't let you on his show.
No. Well, it's funny because he often says, you know, when he's talking about people who have, you know, criticized him, you know, if they won't come on my show, then they're a coward, you know. Well, he calls us this left-wing spirit, you know, smear site who's out to get him, and, you know, they're always watching my words and putting up my transcripts, taking it out of context, which we do not take them out of context. So he's more than willing to attack Media Matters, which he does on a regular basis, and won't have us on his show.
Won't let you on the show.
Right. We've written him asking to let, you know, for him to let us on the show because we've been watching him and listening to him for years. So by his own definition, here we are, a group that criticizes him. He criticizes us and won't let us on his show. By his own definition, he's a coward. He's a petty little man.
There you go. There you go. Carl Frisch, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Sam.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Well, the thing was, I was going to say something about our local airwaves and how things have transpired there, like with Steve in D.C. calling the lady the N-word.
They lost. They got. But it took a lot, didn't it?
Yeah. And then they get a chance to get back on the airwaves. You had the young man who ran to the NAACP after saying something about Condoleezza Rice. And then you had the other two guys that said something about some dumb cops radios.
Mm-hmm.
And they got fired. And, there was a brouhaha about that. But,
they stayed off the air, didn't they?
Yeah. There was no return for them. There was nobody to run to.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops said they didn't even listen to that particular show.
Mm.
And, you know, it's fascinating. You take things out of context, but yet and still, you have to have something that says, well, okay, this is indecent. Okay, well, we have that there, but it's not being regulated like it should be. If the FCC runs everything, then they should get in behind all of this stuff that's going on now and start cleaning it up. That's just the bottom line. You have a good day, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Peter.
Yeah, I wanted to just comment about the. It's kind of frustrating that people keep blaming rappers for what Don Imus had said. Like it's the rapper's fault that those words had come out.
Isn't that something?
It's the two wrongs make a right argument. That because rappers say it, we can say it too. And Snoop Dogg, he made a good point coming out saying he goes, and you got to understand what they're doing. I mean, rappers, they sing songs about their lives and things that they experience and stuff. And, yeah, there are times where they run across women who won't get into a relationship with them because they don't make enough money. And so they call those women hoes. But when you look at the communities, both communities, and how they describe the same behavior, they'll describe Evander Holyfield as irresponsible for having children out of wedlock. But Tom Brady is described as stud, because he has. I mean, he just recently. I think there were rumors that he had two children, two different women in the same month. I think something like that. He was with Giselle, and then Anna Nicole Smith is described as a bombshell or a sex symbol, and she married an 89-year-old man on his deathbed for his millions. But the description of the words that they use is totally off base.
And the other piece to me, though, the piece to me also, Peter, is the piece of if we're going, first of all, rap music has nothing to do with this discussion about what happened, said. First of all. Secondly, if we're going to talk about the content of the records, of the CDs, of the albums that are out here, the buck stops at the top.
Right. Well,
the buck stops at the boardroom of the people that look like Imus.
Right. Well, they're not going to put a song out there if they don't think it's going to sell records, and if they think
that's not true either, because a song that you could find a market for a song that said a whole bunch of different things. They're going to make a decision on what market that they want to exploit. They don't care about the denigration of an entire race of people of African descent. They don't care. Biggest buyers of rap music are white kids.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? It's a win-win situation for people that want to continue a stereotype and continue to engage in racist behavior.
Yeah, what's most appalling is that these women, I mean, that the word that comes out of his mouth was ho to describe something that's so far from it that it's not even, offensive on some. I mean, just a woman should be offended that he.
And that's why I had the president. And that's why I had the president of NOW on my show, because they were.
Yeah.
Because we are. Thanks for your call, Peter. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bob.
Good morning, Miss Liz. How you feeling?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, you updated the picture on the internet. It looks beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it does. Liz, what I want to know is, how do you think he'll do now? They're saying that, he's not dead yet. He's going to come back in. What's this mean, syndicated radio?
I'm sure there's somebody out there that wants to hire him. I'm sure there's someone out there that wants to hire him.
Oh, that's okay. So he can still get a job?
Oh, absolutely. He can get a job with anybody. It's a free marketplace. He can get a job with anybody that wants to hire him. The question is who's going to hire him, given the fact that there's going to be challenges for any advertiser that goes on his show?
Right.
So he's marketable out there. Who's going to hire him? And then what kind of money are they going to be able to make off of him?
Right.
All right?
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Bob. 1-877-920-WGNU. Linda.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I know you're outstanding today, but I'm going to ask you anyway, how are you doing?
Outstanding.
Great. I continually applaud you for having people on your show that can enlighten us about the real in-depth things that are going on considering race, like the gentleman you just had on your show. I was watching MSNBC this morning, mm-hmm. and I really wanted to get in there, call them. There was a young lady on there, and I know she was white, and I'm not speaking this in a racist tone. She was calling Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton some hypocrites because they get on there and they made the comments about Tawana Brawley, how Sharpton raced to that conclusion, and the comments about Reverend Jackson calling the guys a Hemi or Hymies, and how they apologized and nothing happened to them. And they need to understand that these two African Americans don't work for anybody that's white. They can terminate them. And another thing I wanted to say, whenever...
But it's fascinating just to deconstruct some of those things. Jesse Jackson hasn't been hurt for 20 years for that comment that he's made. Absolutely, he has been hurt. Al Sharpton hasn't been hurt for 20 years or 15 years, all of the years. Of course, they have been hurt by this. Of course, they have. And there would be some people that would want to put it on the tombstone of Jesse Jackson that
he said
and apologized for 20 years ago. And you're also supposed to look at someone's behavior in that 20-year period.
What have they done?
Have they repeated that kind of behavior?
No, they haven't.
And if they haven't, then you let it go.
Absolutely.
You let it go. That's what apology is supposed to be. Imus has a long record of apologizing and then engaging in the same behavior. Clarence Page, a columnist for the Chicago Trib, made him raise his hand at the studio on the show and promised not to say things like that, and he broke his promise. Those are apples and airplanes.
I agree, and I just want to say one thing. Who calls Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when something goes on in the African race? The white man calls him. There are more than two educated African Americans who can represent the black race.
Wait a minute.
I call you, Miss Brown.
Well, wait a minute. Nobody calls Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. They're people of African descent. When one of us is harmed, all of us is harmed.
That's exactly right. But they're trying to lump them as a spokespeople for all African Americans.
But you know what? If you out there doing right by a community, I'm all for you. I understand what my community consists of, and I applaud anybody out there that is arguing, advocating, acting on behalf of our community and bump anybody else that wants to put a label or a title on them.
I agree. It's amazing, the mentality of America in this world.
Thanks.
I applaud you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you so much. I will be back with the author of On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. You don't want to miss that discussion. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Don Imus got to sleep in this morning, but not by choice. The longtime nationally syndicated radio host is out of a job, the culmination of over a week of protests over some racially charged comments. More from ABC's David Muir.
Inside the halls of CBS, where Imus brought in a reported $20 million a year, it would come down to more than the money. It was the message. In the end, Imus, who made a career of pointing at others, would become his own worst enemy.
The target of the comments, the Rutgers University women's basketball team, which is mostly African-American. Conservative talk host Larry Elder, who is also black, says a suspension should have been enough.
In the grand department store of life, Don Imus operates in the toy section, and I think that those remarks should have been taken with some perspective, but they weren't.
Imus' wife, Deirdre, is hosting a show today, which is a radiothon to raise money for children's charities. Imus and his wife met with the team at the New Jersey governor's mansion yesterday. The governor, John Corzine, was also supposed to be there, but he was seriously injured in a car crash. He broke his legs, sternum, and some ribs, and he's now on a breathing tube. The White House is still looking for those missing emails that could shed some light into the firing of eight U.S. attorneys. The Democrats say they're not looking hard enough. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
They're scrambling here at the White House.
We screwed up, and we're trying to fix it.
To restore an unknown number of official emails which were supposed to be archived. They may have touched on the sensitive firings of eight U.S. attorneys. An angry Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy accuses the White House of hiding the emails. Anyone from a geek squad will tell you emails are never completely erased. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
What happened this spring? A major winter storm is dumping snow on the Rockies and the Plain States. It could head east and move up the coast over the weekend and could become a brutal nor'easter with snow and a lot of heavy rain. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So today we're just here for floors, right?
Right. Hardwood floors for the study.
And the kitchen.
Oh, and new kitchen cabinets. And counters.
Yeah, I was thinking it's about time the kids started paying rent.
You don't have to break the bank, because right now we have special deferred financing on purchases store-wide when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
I spy with my little eye something red.
Is it the ketchup on the car cushion?
Nope.
Is it the dripping juice?
Nope.
Is it the drawing on the window I made with Mom's lipstick?
Yep.
Life happens in a blink. Now cleanup does too. Introducing the Blink family of car cleaning products that's always within easy reach. Clip to the door, on the back of a seat, wherever you need them for life's little messes. Blink, and it's done.
A member of the Geek Squad was arrested by a police squad. ABC's Gil Gross explains.
The Geek Squad is the Best Buy team that comes to your home to fix your computer. But in Pomona, California, a squad member is at a fix. Hao Kuo Chi was at a home where 22-year-old Sarah Vasquez got out of the shower and noticed a blinking cell phone had been left in the room. Later, she saw it in the bedroom of her 13-year-old sister. So before giving the phone back to Chi, Sarah popped the chip, took it to Verizon, and saw Chi setting it up to record her taking a shower. Best Buy, whose brochure says the Geek Squad are the agents you can trust, says it's cooperating with police in the case of the agent who maybe you couldn't. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Ben and Jerry's has a new flavor which pays homage to legendary British rockers Queen. It's called Bohemian Raspberry. It combines vanilla ice cream with chocolate chunks and raspberry swirls. Sales benefit the Mercury Phoenix Trust, a charity named after the group's late lead singer Freddie Mercury, who died of AIDS. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burnsmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a woman who died in the St. Louis City Jail should have been released hours earlier. 30-year-old LaVonda Kimball spent 8 hours in the jail after being arrested for failure to appear in traffic court. She suffered from chronic asthma and sickle cell anemia, and her family believes she was denied the proper medical attention. Reportedly, Kimball's boyfriend had paid her $250 bond, and a message was sent by Belknor police at 7 o'clock that night that she could be released. However, the jail did not receive the message until after midnight because the department had initially sent the message to the county police by mistake. Homeowners in the city of St. Louis are seeing an increase in their property tax. The average increase in the property tax assessments is reportedly 22.7%. The State Tax Commission sent a letter to the city in 2004 stating that assessments needed to increase by at least 50%. The city assessor split the increase into two parts to ease the impact on homeowners, with the first property tax assessment taking place 2 years ago. If you feel your reassessment is incorrect, the deadline to file an appeal is May 14th. Finally this hour, the Cardinals look to stay on the winning track this evening when they take on the Brewers at Busch Stadium. The Redbirds started the season with 3 straight losses at home, but rebounded with a 5-1 road trip. Anthony Reyes will look for his first win of the year as he takes the mound for the Cards against Milwaukee ace Ben Sheets. Game time is 7:10. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 between 270 and St. Charles Rock Road. There's an accident in the opposing lane, so look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 70 between Air Flight and 270. Look for an accident. Right lane is blocked. It's just east of 270, so expect delays there as well. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays. Southbound 170 at Page and Del Mar. Look for a roadway reduced to 2 lanes for road construction. This St. Charles Road exit and it's, you can expect some delays. Westbound 270 from Lilac through West Florissant. Look for road construction. Right lanes closed. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Heavy volume there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to cloudy, chance of showers this morning and showers this afternoon. High around 50 for this evening. Rain until early morning, then occasional rain or late snow. And no snow accumulations are expected, even though the low will be in the upper 30s. For Saturday, cloudy, snow likely in the morning, then snow and rain mix, and rain mix in the afternoon. No snow accumulations are expected. Highs in the mid-40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, we have 40 degrees under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're trying to get a hold of our guest.
I'm getting his answering machine.
Okay, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. And one of the things I wanted, even if we don't are unable to get our author on. I want to share some of the things out of her book with you. This has reading this book has really been an interesting journey for me. I have seen a lot of books out here on the issue of lynching. I have seen picture books, photographs of people being lynched, people of African descent being lynched. And what I found interesting about this particular book was is the fact that this author raises the question of how people of African descent and how white folks have completely different recollections of lynchings. If you talk to one of the things that she did is she talked about how present the idea, the lynchings were for people of African descent. That when people of African descent talked about it, they experienced it. These are people that actually were in the town, around the town, at the place where a lynching took place. The recollections are real. The recollections are present. And the author says, after talking to white folks about the same event, when they talked about it in the most vaguest terms, that whites could confirm that, there was a lynching, but they only referred to it vaguely, and they professed oftenly and consistently that they knew very little about the lynchings. And almost to every single person that the author talked to, nearly every white person insisted that the lynchers were, quote unquote, from out of town, as opposed to actually being people that lived in that town. And the author talked about one particular lynching. A lynching in 1916 in Waco, Texas. This lynching attracted a mob of 15,000 people. 15,000 people. 10,000 people were on hand to watch the lynching of three African men hung from lampposts in Duluth, Minnesota in 1920. I'll be back to have more of my conversation about this book that I have read, On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
All that I know. Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. So, oh, something within me. It's a rain, yeah. Something within me that banishes me. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain at all. All I know, I think, my God, I've got something within me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking about the book On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in Confronting the Legacy of Lynchings in the 21st Century. And I'm telling you, as I read this book, one of the things, there were so many things that that struck me. But one of the things that I wanted to share with you was how the author of this book makes this particular point, that the willingness of lynchers to act publicly is tremendously significant. It reflects the lynchers' certainty that they would never face punishment for their acts. I mean, think about this. The image of the lynching crowd preserved in photographs and macabre postcards crystallizes forever those that were part of these lynchings. And contrary to what people may want to believe, or contrary to what people may in fact believe, these were not pictures of people in red plaid flannel shirts with their arms rolled up. These were not roughneck folks. These were lynching crowds were remarkably diverse. Farmers, clerks, teachers, businessmen, elderly women, and children. Check this out. The lynching of Matthew Williams was observed by two publishers of the local newspaper. Prominent officials watching from the sidewalk and front of the Wicanamo Hotel. The entire football team enjoyed a post-game dinner at the hotel, and many of the members of the football team enjoyed watching the lynching after dinner. Law student Charles Hearn was observed the lynching from the balcony of this hotel. Shopkeepers, secretaries, truck drivers, business people were all part of the crowds, the 15 crowds of 15,000 people, 10,000 people that gathered to watch lynchings. And one of the points that, was also made was one that I thought that was also, again, a very, a point that is worth reflection. A point that is worth reflecting on. And there weren't just grown-ups attending and watching these lynchings. Children were present. And how do you measure, the impact, the legacy of the warping of children's mind? Think about this. Parents insisted upon their children watching human beings murdered. Your mind is not, you think that's a, you think somebody should have gotten hotlined over that? Check it out. This one lynching, and forgive me if this is too graphic for you, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Luther Holbert. 1,000 white people watched his lynching. But before they got around to lynching him, they cut his fingers and toes off. And then they took large corkscrews and bored them into their flesh while they were still alive. After they bored the corkscrews into his flesh, after they cut off his fingers and toes, they burned Holbert to death. Oh, did I mention they burned his wife, too? They burned his wife and bored corkscrews into her as well. Think about this. The author makes the point that more than poll taxes, more than the grandfather clause, more than Jim Crow segregation, lynching and the threat of lynching, those were the two things that regulated and restricted all aspects of African advancement, independence, and citizenship in small towns all over this country. Poll tax didn't mean jack. It was the concern of being murdered. 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me, David.
Hey, how are you doing? First of all,
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Look, I can relate. I was a member of a study group called ASCAT, and the acronym stands for the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. And, you know, when you get to studying about black folks, you find out some things, just like this ghoulish behavior that you're describing. This is something that we can look to at Europeans wherever they go. You know, when they went into Australia, here they had another practice where before they raped the woman, they usually would cut the man's genitals off. And once he bleeds to death, they cut his head off, and then they would make the woman wear it around her head. Then they would have another practice where they would bury the babies in sand, neck deep, and then see which individual could kick the head of the baby off the father's. You know, there's a problem here that we're just not looking at. Just like you might be familiar with a place called Anna, Illinois. Now, it has an acronym. Ain't no ends allowed.
I had an author on to talk about that, an author that wrote the book Sundown Towns.
That's exactly what I'm referring to.
Right.
All this legacy is dealing with the same mentality. Like, we hear a lot of black people that talk about they do this just because we're black. I like to state a correction. They do that because what's in their hearts and minds. And we're not too far from that, and we just witnessed that just a few days ago. Because you hear all these excuses about why a white male should be able to say anything he wants. about
that. But the other piece of it that I do want to connect to that, David, though, is that what has to happen in order to change that and to respond to that. IMUS was removed from the air, and I think that people should be very, because I know a lot of you all called and a lot of you all emailed and a lot of you all weighed in on this, and that's important. And we have to continue to do those things, and we have to be mindful of the fact that when you look at the legacy, and that's what this book is talking about, it's the legacy of the lynchings. It is what has continued in the heads and the hearts and the actions of people as a result of these acts that were engaged in against people of African descent.
I agree, and I think one of the things about it is you demonstrated there are black people that do have proper behavior. Then there are some that don't have proper behavior in responding to acts of violence or inhuman acts. So I just think that here when we look at this problem and when we reflect back, that there's something wrong with the individual. Just like you said, what goes on in a child's mind when he goes to a picnic? You know, what goes on?
What type
of individuals are you turning out?
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. And there was one particular incident where a man by the name of Fountain was hung. Fountain was hung on the gallows of Talbot County Jail on July 23, 1920. On the night before his execution, a crowd of 300 to 400 men assembled on the courthouse lawn and made their way to the jail. Some used a log as a battering ram and attempted to get into the jail and get to Fountain. Now, I just want you to dig that and feel that. This was the night before he was supposed to be hanged. He was going to die the next day anyway. That wasn't enough. They tried to use a battering ram to get into the jail, to get him before he was hung. They wanted to do their normal ritual on the killing of an African man. Feel that. What is the legacy that remains as a result of those types of actions? Oh, yeah, Don Imus just expressed it last week. Nappy-headed hoes. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 between 94 and K. Look for a heavy volume due to an accident west of 94. Eastbound 70 between 270 and St. Charles Rock Road. Stop and go traffic. There's an accident in opposing lanes and people are stopping to take a look. Westbound 70 from Air Flight through 270. There's an accident just east of 270. It's in the right lane and it's got it blocked and there's stop and go traffic as a result. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound 70, 5570 from Tudor Avenue into Poplar Street Bridge. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for some delays there as well. Eastbound 40, between Maryville and Mason. Look for traffic to be lighter than normal. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to Cloudy skies, chance of showers in the morning, and occasional showers this afternoon, high around 50. This evening, occasional rain until early morning, then rain and snow late. No snow accumulations are expected. Lows in the upper 30s. For Saturday, cloudy, snow likely in the morning. Rain likely in the morning and afternoon. No snow accumulations are expected. Highs in the mid-40s. For Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy skies, 41 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
Hi, I'm Randy Graham. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Sir Sax inviting you to a show called the Gospel Skate Party every Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a program in which I bring you the best in Christian rap, righteous R&G, a taste of that holy hip-hop, etc., etc. It's heard right here on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. Don't forget, the Gospel Skate Party every Friday at 10 p.m. Get your skates on and skate with Sir Sax.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Bryant.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation about this book that I just finished reading, On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century. And I just had one of those moments when I was reading this book, and it's just, you know, and people of African descent, and I'm speaking to you right now, just right now. This moment that you have when you're experiencing something, and you're reading about or you're watching some event that you know is engaged in because of race, and all of us, I think, at one point or another, have said, God, why do you do this? And I was reading that story as I was reading one of the stories that the author described in her book, and it takes place in Easton, Maryland. And in Easton, Maryland, there's this Talbot County Courthouse, an old, immaculately maintained red building, red brick building, with white painted detailing. Modern renovations have connected the western wall of the courthouse to a large renovated brick and glass jail facility. Although the jail is more modern looking than the courthouse to which it is appended, it stands slightly recessed from the front wall of the courthouse and so manages not to distract from the quaint historic appeal of the courthouse facade. And so what has struck the town of Easton, Maryland? What issue has struck the Talbot County Courthouse? Well, downtown Easton, there was a statute that citizens wanted to be built. This battle took place in March of 2004. March 2004. The controversy surrounded a proposal to erect a statue of Frederick Douglass on the lawn of the county courthouse. Frederick Douglass is Talbot County's most prestigious and perhaps the only internationally known Native son. Enslaved as a child, born into enslavement in that county, Frederick Douglass went on to become the most dynamic anti-slavery advocate of the 19th century. In fact, it was Douglass's firsthand experience as a person who ran from his enslavement and his descriptions of the conditions of enslavement right there on the eastern shore that helped make his voice unique and personally compelling, a force for the freedom of enslaved Africans. In fact, Frederick Douglass, as a young man, had been held in the jail right next to the Talbot County Courthouse after his first and unsuccessful attempt to escape enslavement. While he was in that very jail, white slavers taunted him daily with the prospect of being sold to Georgia or, worse yet, to Florida. Frederick Douglass was the only man to speak in favor of women's suffrage at the first women's convention in New York in 1848. He returned to Talbot County in 1877 and delivered an address in the Talbot County Courthouse. He addressed people in that courthouse many times after that. This is a man who led an extraordinary life. And coming out of that small little town is a big deal, right? Now remember, Frederick Douglass lived in Talbot County for the first 20 years of his life. And there's not one single public monument commemorating his life or his birthplace. Now, that's an extraordinary life. Against all kinds of odds. Against all kinds of numbers. That he survived, that he excelled, makes him an extraordinary man, right? We can appreciate that in the year 2004, right? Nope. Because when they wanted to erect a statue of this man, a white veterans group opposed the statue, citing a county, quote-unquote, tradition that limited the monuments on the lawn of the courthouse only to veterans who had, quote, given their lives for their country. Of course, nobody ever heard of this tradition until they wanted to erect a statue of Frederick Douglass. And they also talked about that the lawn of the courthouse is a sacred place. It's a sacred place. You just can't throw anything up there. And right now there are two monuments. And both of them do honor veterans. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And then the other one is to the Talbot Boys, 1861 to 1865. Huh, who were they? Oh, that's the soldiers who fought during the Civil War on the side of the Confederate Army, and they lost their lives. The veteran groups, when challenged in 2004 by whites, I mean challenged by black folks, said, oh, no, this isn't about race. We're not doing this because of race. Skin color isn't an issue for the veterans, said one white local veteran leader, ignoring the irony of his statement in the context of the Confederate Soldiers Monument. They said that the courthouse lawn itself is sacred and hallowed. Now, Frederick Douglass, the monument can only be put up because it's there for veterans who died in the course of service to their country. How could Frederick Douglass die as a soldier in America when he tried to enlist? And America said, you cannot because you are African. How could he have? And the irony of it is that he had two sons who did die. Remember the movie with Denzel Washington? Glory? Remember that movie? The one that Denzel Washington was nominated for an Oscar for? I believe he received one for. Well, in that, they told of this tale of these African people that had been enslaved here in America, brought into the Union Army and sent on death missions. Well, Frederick Douglass's two sons died in that battalion. But in 2004, that cannot be looked upon, that cannot be embraced, that cannot be said to be a reason to erect a statue for a man whose history has no parallel. Do you hear what I'm saying? In 2004. Oh, and the lynching that I described a few minutes ago where the husband and wife had their toes and their fingers cut off and had corkscrews inserted into them in the places of their fingers and their toes. And were burned to death. Where do you think that killing, those murders took place? Oh yeah, right at those sacred hollow grounds of that courthouse lawn. 2004, they said no to a statue of Frederick Douglass. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. Stay with me. Shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Rasta Resolution, removing the pollution and bringing you the musical solution with Rasilos right here, WGNU Radio.
King Silos, a culture nationalist. Rasta Resolutions airs every Saturday from 1:00 p.m. to 1:00 a.m. That's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night on WGNU Rasta Resolutions.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballfazer, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I messed up on Sunday. I'll be hell today. I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last today. And then you call me, and it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a discussion this hour about a book that I just finished reading, On the Courthouse Lawn, Examining Lynchings in the 21st Century. And one of the things that this author talks about, and that's one of the things that I really found intriguing about this book, it's not just the stories and not just the stories about lynchings and the story about how the legacy of lynching exists and carries on to today. Ask Don Imus. But the author also offers up a solution to the legacy of lynching. To the legacy of racism. And she went to South Africa to find that. And she talks about how she was impressed by the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC. And she said that South Africans were doing something that Americans had never done, confronting in detail the devastation caused by racial terrorism. They were naming names. They were identifying institutions. They were creating a record. They were acknowledging the demand for reparation. And they were attempting to engage in a real conversation about how to move forward as victims, perpetrators, as oppressors, and the formerly oppressed. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the chair of the TRC, said that the past refuses to lie down quietly. This author makes the point that the lynching that I described to you earlier on the Eastern Shore in the 1930s, the terror that visited upon people of African descent and those communities, as a result of that lynching, the terror didn't just disappear into thin air. It lives in the deep wells of distrust between blacks and whites, in the sense that blacks must still keep their place and that both blacks and whites must remain silent about this history of lynching, and that whites have a legacy they have the right to engage in racist behavior. So what is the solution? Well, the author takes us to the end of her book. She takes us to 2004, where 500 people gathered in downtown Greensboro, North Carolina. Why? To witness the swearing-in of 7 members of the Greensboro Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The Greensboro TRC is the first Truth and Reconciliation Commission created in the United States. How many of you have heard of that? How many of you heard of this? What is the mandate of this Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Its mandate is to examine the murder of 5 activists and the wounding of 10 other people by the Klan and Klan-affiliated individuals on the morning of November 3rd, 1979. And feel this, y'all, and I want you to feel this to your bones. Despite the fact that these murders were caught on videotape, no one has been convicted of the murders. The Greensboro TRC is something to be considered. Their final report was released on May 25th, 2006. Its recommendations included a call on individuals involved in the 1979 murders to reflect on their role and to apologize to those harmed, as well as institutional reforms such as anti-racism training for all city and county employees, the creation of a community justice court to handle misdemeanor cases, the development of a curriculum for the county public schools that will include the events surrounding the murders and the issuance of the annual reports on race relations in the city. It's a start. It's a start. But we have to, again, we have to look at this history. And we have to understand that we have to raise the question. Where does the terror go? Where does it go? If you're not talking about it, America doesn't want to talk about its lynching-filled history. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people of African descent were lynched to death in this country because of the color of their skin. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of white America watched those lynchings. Watched those lynchings. The author makes a profound point that those lynchings, and remember, that it wasn't just lynching, it was the display afterwards as messages of what will happen to you. Terrorism, racial terrorism. What is the legacy of the hundreds of thousands of white Americans who participated in lynchings, and the thousands of Americans of African descent? who were on the hanging end of those lynchings and those communities that survived it. If we don't talk about this, it will continue, you will continue to have a divide between communities. If we don't acknowledge this, there's a reason why people of African descent are very clear what Don Imus meant when he said nappy-headed whores. We know that white America, the challenge to white America is to break the silence of the legacy of racism and to acknowledge its existence and to have that discussion of where do we go from here and what do we do to make up for that. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Next hour is a discussion with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. Why? Because it is wellness time for Wellness 101. We're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about menopause. We're going to be talking about fibroids. We're going to be talking about alternative ways to address these medical issues. Because this is Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Please stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's still spring, right? You really can't tell if you live in the plains or the Rockies. A major winter storm is making its way east, leaving a trail of snow, sleet, and freezing rain behind.
It gets stronger as we go through the weekend. Now, by the time this storm is done and pulls off the coast, two-thirds of the country will have been beneath it. So far this morning, we're expecting a light dusting of snow in the Denver area, south of Denver into southern Colorado, also into New Mexico. Last night and overnight, there was a good solid hit of snow, but there will be much more more weather to be seen from this storm and much more effects like travel delays.
ABC's Sam Champion in Denver. There's outrage today in the Iraqi parliament following yesterday's suicide bombing that killed a lawmaker. There's also an arrest.
All we know is that three people who work in the parliamentary cafeteria have been arrested, which, you know, when you think about it, would be the obvious thing to do. That's where the bomb took place, and you know, the suspicion would be that there had to have been some kind of collaboration. One person couldn't have done this on his own.
ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad. After more than 30 years on the air, Don Imus is out of a job today. He was dumped yesterday by CBS Radio, the culmination of more than a week of protests over racially and sexually offensive remarks he made about the women's basketball team at Rutgers University.
Last night, Rutgers coach Stringer did not say whether the team forgave Imus for his remarks. This morning, the radio show has now raised well over $1 million, close to two now for charity. I'm saying just yesterday morning that this year they need to raise $100 million, indicating that this year could be his last. And as we know, the CBS decision came just hours later.
ABC's David Muir. I met the team at the New Jersey governor's mansion last night. The governor, John Corzine, was also supposed to be there, but he was seriously hurt in a car crash yesterday and is in the hospital today. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 11 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is down 7 points. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So today we're just here for floors, right?
Right. Hardwood floors for the study.
And the kitchen.
Oh, and new kitchen cabinets. And counters.
Yeah, I was thinking it's about time the kids started paying rent.
You don't have to break the bank, because right now we have special deferred financing on purchases store-wide when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
I spy with my little eyes something red.
Is it the ketchup on the car cushion?
Nope.
Is it the dripping juice?
Nope.
Is it the drawing on the window I made with Mom's lipstick?
Yep.
Life happens in a blink. Now cleanup does too. Introducing the Blink family of car cleaning products that's always within easy reach. Clip to the door, on the back of a seat, wherever you need them for life's little messes. Blink, and it's done.
You may find this hard to believe, but T-Rex, you know, the most macho of the dinosaurs? Well, he's a prehistoric cousin of the chicken. ABC's Bob Schmidt explains.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex is the feared dinosaur they call the Thunder Lizard. But maybe T-Rex ought to be called the Thunder Chicken.
There ain't nobody here but us chicken.
Researchers who analyzed soft tissue from a 68-million-year-old T-Rex bone dug up in Montana say they have the first genetic evidence that links the dinosaur to the modern chicken. Scientists have long suspected that birds evolved from dinosaurs. So does it mean that T-Rex would have tasted just like chicken? That question still has science stumped. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
You have just 4 days to finish up your income tax returns and get them in the mail on time. Many of us will be spending the weekend trying to find as many deductions as possible. And some of you say you're willing to fudge the numbers. In fact, a few admit to outright lying on the 1040. Shame on you. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burns-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, no decision has been made in a local murder trial. Ed Phillips is accused of murdering Amy Bloomberg in 1999. Phillips' defense team says that he is an innocent man who stumbled upon Bloomberg's body. The jury deliberated for more than 18 hours yesterday and was sent home without reaching a verdict. The third day of deliberations will resume this morning at 10 o'clock. The state of Missouri is debating an official apology for slavery. The proposal for the state's role in slavery more than 140 years ago is under attack from legislators who feel they don't need to say sorry. Supporters of the bill say that an official apology could be a step toward government-approved reparations. Opponents say the state shouldn't have to apologize for something that happened so long ago. If the formal apology takes place, Missouri would be the fourth state to pass such a measure. Finally, this hour, today is Friday the 13th, which may be hazardous to your health if you believe it is. Scientists believe that the power of mind over body is strong enough that moods and beliefs can affect our health. A 1993 study in the British Medical Journal found fewer highway drivers on Friday the 13th than on Friday the 6th, but 50% more hospital admissions for driving accidents. A Stanford University psychiatrist says that it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy as bad things happen because you're convinced they are going to happen. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 between Bryan Road and Lake St. Louis. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked. It's near the Lake St. Louis Boulevard exit, and that's two left lanes that are blocked. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, there's slow traffic due to an earlier accident. It's been cleared. Westbound 70 between Lindbergh and 270, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident near St. Charles Rock Road. Westbound 40 between 94 and K, look for an accident. It's been cleared west of 94, so traffic's easing by this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well in the landing. Westbound 5570 is moving well from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 from Bottle Avenue into the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Northbound 270 at 44 and then again at 70, you can expect no problems to report. And eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge into the Chesterfield Valley looks no problem to report there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, chance of showers. Occasional rain this afternoon, high around 50 for this evening. Occasional rain until early morning, then rain and possible snow with no snow accumulations expected. The low should be in the upper 30s. For Saturday, snow likely in the morning and rain likely later in the morning and afternoon. No snow accumulations are expected again with a high in the mid 40s. Then Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 41 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. Take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can you say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you
say? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. It's Friday, it's 9 o'clock, and it's time for Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. Dr. Kincaid, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing just absolutely great.
Wonderful to hear. We're going to take on, this is going to be a discussion about women's bodies this morning. That's not to say that this is a discussion exclusive to women, but it's about women's bodies. What are we going to be talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about fibroid tumors, what they are, how we get them, and a very, very innovative treatment called female reconstructive surgery.
And also we're going to be talking about a part of that, about hysterectomies and about all of that, all of the things that women are told that should be done in addressing this issue. Our guest this hour to facilitate that conversation is Dr. Vicki Hufnagel. She's joining us from Los Angeles. Doctor, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
And I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid as well.
Right. My name is Dr. Vicki Hufnagel.
And Dr. Hufnagel, let's start with, a definition of what fibroids are. What are they?
Fibroids are growths that happen to the uterus, but they can also happen in other parts of the body. These are tumors that are made out of muscle tissue, and they grow, and they can cause many problems, including bleeding, anemia, and recently, which is a wake-up call to tell women, is that we found that fibroid tumors can actually collect blood, and in collecting that blood, they can shift the blood from the heart, and we think that this is one of the major causes for death in Africa of many women, and when the doctors do the postmortem on the women, they don't realize that the blood in the uterus was the cause for the heart attack that the woman had. So we know now, it's called, I just named it recently, I called it blood pooling, where the blood in the body pools into the uterus, and women are actually under cardiac stress. And this has not been recognized until just recently. And I'm trying to publish it, but nobody wants to talk about it, because what it means that thousands of women have been told, oh, don't worry about your fibroids, oh, just, you know, go on, nothing's really going on. And many people have no idea that they are really at risk for sudden death from heart problems.
And fibroids, I've been told that fibroids are increasing, and that the community of African descent women seems to have a larger number of fibroids.
I've been told that, too. And I've looked at the statistics, and I'm not sure of that, and I don't want to sound, I don't want to sound like this, but I'm going to say it. I believe that African women, American African women, women of color, are singled out for more hysterectomies, and that I did find out. I wrote a government document, which everybody wants to cover up and not talk about, years ago. And that document is published by the U.S. Department of Health through the National Institute on Health Statistics. And what I found out was that it appears that the treatments that we're giving, more hysterectomies are being forced upon African-American women in the country. And that's true. And also more treatments. Every time I get a call and hear from someone, they're always constantly trying to do a uterine artery embolization or an ablation or scare the woman into some sort of treatment that she must have without, here's the most important thing, without telling her all of her options.
And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I think it would be very helpful for us to talk about what all of those treatments are. Can we start with some of those, please?
Sure. I think the major treatment, and we know this very well, is hysterectomy. And that women are told, well, you know, you have these fibroids, and the only thing we can do is a hysterectomy. And they're told that. And And because it's coming from a doctor, it's believed, you know, totally believed. And I, my whole career, I blew the whistle on fibroid tumors and hysterectomy back in the 80s. And I'm the only physician in the country to write law. As soon as I wrote a law to protect women, I wrote the informed consent hysterectomy law. And it was passed in California, New York, and Texas. And none of the other states have this law. And basically what the law says is that women have to be told everything before they have a hysterectomy. You know, what their options are, what the risks of a hysterectomy are. Because most women, I would say that almost every woman, like about maybe 80% out there listening, believe that a hysterectomy will have no negative side effects for them. You know, they,
well, that's what they're told.
Yeah, that's what they're told.
Well, not only that, sometimes women have been told, well, it'll be a benefit because then you won't have to worry about having periods anymore, and that the uterus after having babies, if you're beyond that age, or if you don't want any children, what's the use of having it anyway?
Right. There's a whole mythology.
And there's also a sick, twisted kind of inevitability. A friend of mine was told after having some kind of X-ray or something that, well, you have fibroids, and the doctor said to her face, well, you know what's next then? Of course, you get a hysterectomy. And he made it sound as if this was just the most natural. It's like breathing. It's like the stages that you go through in life. You know, you get puberty, you hit menopause, and then you have a hysterectomy.
Right. I mean, it's taught like that. So in my personal career, I went from having the largest medical practice and being destroyed by the medical community for speaking out. In all honesty, this happened because they were so upset with me. And you know what that led me to do? It led me to go and get a degree in naturopathy. It led me to get a degree in alternative medicine. And the most recent degree that I'm working on right now is in theology. And my study has become the study of ethics. And my whole point is now looking at the ethics of medicine. And there, I can tell you, everybody out there believes, you know, that there's a Hippocratic Oath. Well, the majority of doctors don't even know what a Hippocratic Oath is. They've never taken it. They've never read it. And people have so many myths about doctors and medicine and what they've been told.
And let's go back to the hysterectomy piece.
Yes, let's knock some of those myths out.
And also, yes, talk to us about the importance of the uterus.
The uterus is an organ that makes hormones. The uterus makes hormones, not just the ovaries. That's the first big myth. Everybody believes, well, you don't need the uterus because it doesn't do anything. Well, that's not true. Uterus makes substances that help prevent heart disease, osteoporosis, and joint disease. If we take the uterus out of a woman, just we take, you know, 50 women on one side and we leave their uterus in, and 50 women on the other side and we take their uterus out. I want the entire audience to listen to this. The women whose uterus we take out will have 10 times the rate of osteoporosis. The women that we take the uterus out will have 10 times the heart disease. The women we take the uterus out will have complications with not feeling sexual, depression, early menopause, and psychological problems that are all related to the hysterectomy. And here's the last one. The women we take the uterus out will not live as long. Now, this isn't myth. This is data. This is science. And this is why I wrote the book, No More Hysterectomies, and I wrote the law, and I wrote the statistical analysis.
And you talk about the uterus having the making hormones, but doesn't the uterus also serve as a placeholder, keeping your organs in place?
Yes, it's very important. And when you take it out, everything falls down.
Because there's a hole. I mean, everything in your body serves a purpose, doesn't it?
Right. It totally serves a purpose. And the whole dismissal of it is, you know, was created by a myth when the years ago, the reason why we really destroyed the uterus as an organ was we didn't have a treatment for gonorrhea years ago. And when we didn't have a treatment for gonorrhea, women were getting infected and not having, and living in pain. And so they went from being having any positive notion about the uterus to telling women, you don't need it, it's not, you know, it's messy, it causes bleeding, it causes pain. It's the seeds of cancer. All of these things are lies, intentional lies that were created in order to treat gonorrhea at one time in this country. And at that time in the country, medicine was so terrible and unethical, was that we were treating men and we had clinics for men, but women weren't getting treated because they didn't want women to know that their husbands were going to prostitutes and bringing gonorrhea home. That's how this whole thing historically started, to attack the uterus. The uterus is your organ. It's vital. It has its place in your body. It has its place in your reproductive system. And it's important.
So, okay, so we have hysterectomy is one way of addressing fibroids. What's another way?
Well, right now, women are scared. And if you're scared and uneducated, the other ways, the entrepreneurial ways, the ways that are being pushed are uterine embolization and uterine ablation. And let me tell you, let's go with ablation first. Ablation is a fancy word for burning. Now, what they do is they tell you, well, you come into the hospital, we're going to ablate the lining of your uterus. That's the endometrium. That's the part that the menstrual blood comes from. And that's going to cure you. Well, years ago, they used to put battery acid in women's uteruses, too. Years ago, they used to take electrodes and stick them in the uterus and burn the uterus with electrodes. And these were considered barbaric at the turn of the century, like 1902. Well, they're still doing this ablation is barbaric like that. They go in with electricity and heat, and they burn the lining of the uterus. Now, burning the lining of the uterus destroys parts of the cells that make some of the hormones that you need. It also can scar the uterus. It also can, they perforate and burn through the uterus and can burn your bowel or your bladder and other parts of your vital organs. So it's not 100% safe, but it has nothing to do with the fibroid tumors. What it does is it just burns the lining and you get scarring. So it's barbaric, but they never really tell the woman. And if you're scared and uneducated, here's what you hear. You go in, you have it done, you go home the same day. And that's all you want to know. Oh, it's not a real surgery. Oh, it's something simple. I had a patient call me, referring me another patient, just last evening. And she's had two barbaric procedures. Why? Uneducated, and she feared surgery. So in fearing surgery, she went and did something to destroy her body and mutilate it more. The next one, right in your city, I talked to the radiologist at a major hospital just a couple weeks ago. One of the women went in. She has a huge fibroid tumor, huge, like a pregnancy. And they told her, well, we can do embolization on you. Embolization. Now, have you heard of that word before, embolization?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To embolize something means to stop the blood. If you get a pulmonary embolus, you're stopping the blood flow in the lungs, and you can die. That's what people die of. They die of embolization. So what the plan here is, it's another real let's make money and scare women, is they take silicon. And I want to say that word again. They take silicon, and they stick it in the femoral artery, and they push it up, and they don't know where it's going. They just push it in the body, and the idea is by stopping the blood flow to the uterus, they're going to kill the fibroid.
Well, stopping the blood flow to the fibroid itself, right?
That's what they say, but
right.
They're not doing that. What did I just say they're doing? They're stopping the blood flow to the
uterus.
Say it again.
Uterus.
If you stop the blood flow to the uterus, what are you doing?
You're destroying the tissue.
You're destroying the uterus.
Right.
So
ovaries too.
Of these women, same thing, scared of a major operation, fearful, run in, have this done, and a lot of them go immediately into infection with infection of the uterus because it's destroyed, and end up with an emergency hysterectomy.
And it's painful, isn't it? Too,
yeah,
to have your tissue.
Yeah, very painful. People can have fever and chills afterwards, but it doesn't really matter because you're told stories. You keep going back in, you know, week after week, and you're told, oh, you know, this is normal. This is what happens when you have this procedure. And so women are just lining up for this in communities, black women especially. It seems to be these mutilated procedures which can be...
Well, and in all fairness, what women are also are concerned about is they don't want a hysterectomy. They are looking for something other than a hysterectomy. And what's being told to women is that these procedures, they don't have to rip you out. They don't have to do that. That it's a not a painful procedure. It is not a time-consuming procedure. You're not going to have to be off work for very long after
right.
you have this procedure. There's only you go on your you go in for the especially for the embolization one. You go in, you lie on your back. They cut you just a little cut, and you're done.
Yeah, you are done. You haven't done anything to treat the fibroids. You've only cut off the blood supply to the entire uterus, which can lead to many complications, and you still have your fibroids.
And that is not what they say. They do not say that you're cutting off the flow of blood to the uterus. They
right.
say that this tiny silicone pellet is going down the vein that's attached to the fibroid, and that's where the blood is choked off. That's what they say.
Well, that is a lie.
And most of the women who have that procedure are women who are trying to preserve their uterus for a future childbirth. And it's really questionable as to whether someone's going to be able to bear a child when part of their uterine tissue.
Dr. Rose, there's just so much misinformation.
Yes.
In every community, basic education is a problem. And the doctors do know better, so it is an issue of ethics. When I called this one hospital, their radiology department in your city back, I read what they did was they did a nuclear magnetic resonance on this woman, and I could see that she had about 200 cc's of blood in her uterus. Now, 200 cc's of blood in her uterus would be over a third of her blood volume. That meant that a third of her blood volume wasn't going to her heart. When I corrected the chief of radiology, he never called the patient back. He never corrected his report. He promised he would. Then I started questioning him about his UAE procedure. I said, well, you know what the FDA requirements are. Because almost every year I testified at the FDA on UAE because I was so upset with even the FDA. That hospital and that radiology department was not following FDA procedures. They told this woman they're only supposed to do this procedure up to a 12 centimeter size fibroid.
Mm.
And they were doing it on everybody bigger, anybody they could get in, because here's why. They can get the state medical coverage to pay for it, so they can get 12 to 14 grand.
And I guess everybody should be thinking about what it means that the treatment for your uterine fibroid is being done by a radiologist.
Well,
you know, I mean, just think about that.
Nobody's thinking. What everybody is into a place of fear. We have women in a place of fear, and we have a medical system lacking ethics.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to, this is Wellness 101, Dr. Rosa Kincaid, and Dr. Vicki Hufnagel is joining us from Los Angeles. We're talking about fibroid tumors. Stay with us.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, Join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballfazer, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Lone Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking at this hour, of course, to Dr. Rosa Kincaid and Dr. Vicki Huffnagel, who's joining us from Los Angeles. And Dr. Kincaid, did you have some additional questions for Dr. Huffnagel?
What about the doing myomectomies? There are a lot of people who opt to have myomectomies. And
what is a myomectomy?
Myomectomy is cutting out the different tumors, but often they're told that, the tumors will grow back. And
so what do you say to that, Dr. Huffnagel?
Well, I say that, it's a good technique to have, but it's a bad technique applied. What happens is we need the whole medical community and surgical community to be re-educated. When they do a myomectomy, the way those doctors are trained, they have a lot of blood loss, and they don't get all the tumors out, and they cut up the uterus into sort of like lots of holes in it and then don't know what they're doing. And what I did was I created a whole new form of surgery called female reconstructive surgery. And I started out with fibroids, learning how to remove 300 fibroids, 30 fibroids, the largest fibroid you've ever seen, kind of thing, and how to do it without blood loss and without multiple cuts on the uterus. So it's a whole new way of operating. And that has worked out very, very well. And we've done thousands of cases in which the people were told were impossible and couldn't be done. Literally thousands.
So how come this hasn't caught on with the other GYN surgeons?
Because they are supporting what has been and not wanting to actually let the communities know that they have had this available and that they continue to do hysterectomy as their primary procedure. So these, they're sort of, it's like a cover-up is really why. And they all want to be part of the same system. And anybody who looks at what happened to me, I was attacked so horribly. I mean, even a raid on my home to take my books, you know, because I was writing books to expose problems, you know, I'm still continuing that work. Going to theology school did not silence me. It made me more ethically oriented and made me a stronger person. So female reconstructive surgery is available to the women in your area through Dr. Kincaid. And what I did was I created two new things. I created a website called reverseit.net. And reverseit.net's program is to bring in physicians from all over the country, teach them new technology, and link with them so that we can offer new technology through the web, through the internet, consults. I do joint consults by video teleconferencing all over the world. We have patients fly to our teaching centers. I go and teach all over the world. And to change medicine is the point. And make medicine ethically, an ethical practice, a practice that empowers the woman to make her choices.
Are there options available that do not involve surgery?
Not really. They're trying everything to do that. There's one where they're working with ultrasound. The problem with the ultrasound is that it's not showing to be effective, and the amount of ultrasound that they're using can damage the other organs. So I'm very concerned about that. The whole idea is about money. That's what I want everybody to know. It's about money. So if you've got everybody trying to make money as their first goal, right, that's the problem. If you have people trying to save women, educate women, then you're going to have a different kind of medicine. So what we need is actually prayer and spirituality and sacredness in medicine again. The old beliefs that we held in medicine back in the times of Greece is what we need. The people who practice medicine have to change. They have to become theologically based. I mean, I'm not saying people have to go to church every day or believe in God. I'm saying something even more profound. People have to believe in good, and people have to not do evil for money. I mean, I see evil things. Talking to the chairman of radiology at the hospital in Missouri was like talking to an evil person. He knew that he was breaking protocol. He knew that I was telling him something that was important to save this woman's life. He did nothing because he did not want to disrupt the daily standard of practice, which kills people.
And okay, so let's go to what we've talked about fibroids. There's also endometriosis. Is that
right? You can treat that with argon beam. We have argon beam therapy, irrigation therapy. Women don't need hysterectomies for this.
Explain what that is.
Endometriosis is when the lining of the uterus invades the uterus and causes a condition called adenomyosis. And women are told every day this can't be treated. I've been operating on adenomyosis for more than 30 years and curing women with it. It also can be found outside the uterus, and we can remove it, and women can be cured and treated. And there's usually causes for it, and we try to look for the causes. The whole thing is in surgery is that it's complex. There's multiple causes for everything. What can we do with female reconstructive surgery? We can remove fibroids. We can remove endometriosis. We can remove adhesions. We can take women who've had tubal ligation complications, reattach their tubes, fix everything that's caused their problems. That's going to be another show. The tubal ligation problem is enormous, and women don't even know about it. And they think they're crazy when they have pain after it, but they're not. Prolapse, women's organs who are falling down, they don't have to have a hysterectomy. Breast cancer created a new operation over 4 years ago where I showed that we could remove breast cancer and not deform the breast and cure the patient. Remove breast cancer and not deform the breast. And that hasn't got out there because medicine is glacial. My latest book, which can be a whole chapter on it, can be gotten free if people contact Dr. Kincaid, get her email site, talk to her. That is going to be free to as many people who as call her and reach her. And that book is called No More Menopause.
And
no
that,
More Menopause.
And that's another show. Let me get to a couple of callers here.
Okay, let's do it.
D, you have
good
a question?
Good morning, doctors.
Good morning.
I missed the first 10 minutes of you all's program. If you can make it, in reference to the fibroids, if a woman can make it to menopause, are the chances of them shrinking successful good without surgery?
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Okay. What was your name, Dean or Bean? I couldn't hear.
D.
D, that's a myth. What's this shrinking stuff? Where'd you get this myth? Another myth. What's the idea here is if we put women into menopause and everything's going to shrink. Well, yeah, and you'll shrink too. If women go through menopause and they don't have good hormone balance, they will shrink, they will get osteoporosis, they will get heart disease, they will get complications and not live as long. The whole medical community has lied to women about menopause. They have told them that hormones will cause cancer and heart disease. Yes, it will if you take the hormones that are prescribed that are cancer-producing and heart disease-producing. They will cause those problems. But if you take natural hormones, that won't happen. So there's been a whole lie and myth in that, which is another issue. But if you allow yourself to go to menopause and don't take care of yourself, your fibroids could shrink, but you'll end up with heart disease, osteoporosis, and other problems and age rapidly and have less longevity. So it's a lie because if you are kept healthy, your fibroids will continue to grow. They don't shrink. They don't shrink if you are healthy. If we put you in starve you, they'll shrink too. If you go into starvation, your fibroids will shrink.
So then the choice, then the only choice for women with for fibroids, if you want them out of you, is surgery.
Well, I have had success with treating some fibroids with hormones and diet also, as long as the person is really
diligent.
Diligent, compliant, and they're not too huge. It's not easy to do, but I have had success with it. But they have to stick with the program. Yeah.
It's here's the point. Every patient has to become educated, keep a journal, keep a record, and they're going to have to learn the science of whatever they're doing. If you're going to go the nutritional way, I had a woman call me yesterday and ask me something. I said, fine, what is your blood level for your anemia? If she's a vegetarian. What is your tyrosine level? What are these levels? She never knew what her levels were. She would just take some molasses or some Burroughs yeast. But the patient has to become the scientist for their own body.
But also mm-hmm. there has to be a relationship with the doctor because it's not the whole idea of being wanting a natural solution to this doesn't mean that you natural without does not mean the absence of science in this as well.
Right. And the other thing is that it has to be the patient has to take responsibility and the doctor really needs to be ethical. And you need to, as a consumer, you can't feel like you're a victim all the time. You have to really demand the right care and walk out if you don't get it.
Let me get to another call and then we get some more thoughts here. Lisa, question.
My question is, so what are some of the natural products that you can take to get in balance?
Thanks, Lisa. And we're going to, hold on for one second, Doctor. We're going to take a break here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with our conversations with Doctors Rosa Kincaid and Vicki Huffnagel. We're talking about no more hysterectomies. We're talking about fibroids. We're talking about other options. My name is Liz Brown. This is Wellness 101. Stay with us.
I know
the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Wellness 101. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Dr. Rosa Kincaid, and also joining us from Los Angeles, author of No More Hysterectomies, Dr. Vicki Huffnagel. And on the way out, Dr. Huffnagel, a caller called and asked about some of these the supplements and that we need to be taking.
Well, how to be balanced.
Yes.
Well, first of all, how to be balanced is you have to learn about what are blood levels, what are your cycles like, a real basic education on what your body makes and doesn't make,
yes,
and what your diet and nutrition should be to help that.
You have to know what your imbalance is first.
Right.
Before you just there's not like a one-size-fits-all, especially
right,
when you're dealing with a natural, holistic medicine. You know, it's not like everybody gets the same pill and it works. Women are so different from one another, and there's so many environmental things that have effects on us. So that's why you really need, if you're interested in using supplements and herbs, you need to work with a physician who understands the medicinal properties of the herbs and what your deficiency is, what your imbalance is.
Well, what about women that do no longer have a cycle?
Well,
what are they supposed to be looking for?
Well, what we do is we educate them and actually bring the cycle back. You can bring the cycle back. I am 58, and I'm not menopausal. I'm going to repeat that. I am 58, and I am not in menopausal. I have never had hot flashes. I will never be menopausal. When I wrote No More Menopause, I meant it. I meant that women didn't have to have menopause. And why should they have menopause? You know, why should we not live longer? Why should we age when we don't have to? If we took out your glands, your thyroid gland, you'd become fat, depressed, and mentally retarded. If women's organs aren't working, that's not a natural state. There's a whole bunch of mythology about that as well, and that requires a re-education. We have a whole little handout called Quick Start that people can get by contacting Dr. Kincaid to learn the basis, and I have promised to reduce my fees by 50% for all patients who will sign up with her, and we will teach them about their hormones, and they can come back on the show and tell the public what they've learned, because we're going to have to educate a whole America. A whole America needs to be educated.
Let me get to some more callers here. Farida.
Yes.
Question.
My question is, I was told that if you suffer from endometriosis and you have the fibrocystic tumor, an alternative treatment was, and I guess if you're have anemia also, was to have a daily intake of blackstrap molasses and a diet consistent daily of organic coconut oil, that it would purify the blood and shrink the tumors. So I would like to know from Dr. Kincaid or the other prestigious doctor there, is that true?
Molasses does have iron in it, and it can possibly, depending, you know, if your symptom is bleeding, you would have to know how low your blood count is. It's not really exact. Using just coconut oil or I'm not real familiar with that. I would say that you would have to know what your deficiencies were.
She needs to be working in conjunction with the doctor.
That's right.
First.
That's right. I would not do that alone. I would have to have a doctor. You need to speak with a doctor, and you need to be monitored. Your tumor needs to be monitored. Your blood count needs to be monitored. And using something like that, I think, could be quite dangerous, actually.
What we would do, and in working with Dr. Kincaid in monitoring, means we would have you actually draw your tumor based on your ultrasound or your other studies.
Yes, that's right.
And we would have you see the size of it, because most women have no idea. Your doctors certainly don't know. The doctors don't even have a visualization in their own mind about what your tumors look like. I've been with too many thousands of doctors to know that they have no idea what they're talking about when they even read a report, because they don't visualize. Just because they read a report doesn't mean that they visualize what they're reading. That is another ethical issue. Now, on terms of fibroids, we have a fibroid balance formula available that you can get through Dr. Kincaid, and that's an amino acid. Several amino acids that we found reduce fibroids from growing, and we also have a endometriosis balance formula with amino acids and vitamins and herbs in it as well. The thing is, though, we tell people the truth. Take these for 12 weeks, see how you do. If you don't improve, hey, let's move on. You know, you'll know whether something's working or not working for you. And if you have serious problems like chronic anemia, that's not good, especially if you have blood pooling. And you could have blood pooling and not even know it. And you could be short of breath and weak all the time and not know how serious your disease is.
Yeah, I had somebody like that last week. I had to send her to an emergency room. She was getting ready to go into shock. She had a huge clot in her uterus, and she was symptomatic. It was short of breath, pale, tachycardic. It was really dangerous.
Right, and women hold out because they're, you know, their fears. And there's another thing that women, I call it the stupid women's syndrome. Stupid women's syndrome. The syndrome where everything else is important. Taking care of the kids is important. Taking care of your husband is important. Doing your business is important. Taking care of yourself is last on the list. I had a woman with breast cancer. We could do her surgery. We could remove her tumor, not mutilate her. Her husband had prostatic cancer. She was in Florida. Didn't want to get on a plane and come out to California, so she wanted to stay home. She had a very bad surgery. They didn't get all of her tumor out. She died. Now, her husband's going to die now. Nobody's going to take care of him. So in women do the most stupid things at times because we've been culturized. We don't put ourselves first. And I'm one of the worst. I know that this is real. I never put myself first. It's always my daughter or my patients or, you know, anybody who knows me knows that. And I'm preaching this because I need to change. If I'm dead, I'm not going to save any women.
Yeah, I hear that enthusiasm in your voice as coming from a person that knows that that's what they're supposed to be doing, too.
Yep.
All right, let me get to a couple of other callers here. Pat, turn your radio down.
Okay.
Carlos.
Yeah, how are you doing, Liz?
I'm out
there. Your doctors there?
Yeah. Hello.
Does your sexual history have anything to do with the uterus health, from having sex too much as a youngster or whenever to indulging moderately?
Sexual history. Well, first of all, if you have a hysterectomy, the uterus is known for orgasm. The uterus is not just sitting there doing nothing. So women who have hysterectomies will often have a change in their sexuality. That's one. Two, if you've had many abortions or many DNCs or many operations like cesarean, from childbirth you can have damage to the organs. And as you get older, more is better. Let me repeat that, older women there. More sex is better. Stimulation of the uterus and vagina keeps the body healthy and running and working.
It's medicinal.
It's medicinal. It's
sexual healing.
It's been shown that testosterone levels, estrogen levels, all increase with sexual intercourse. So how about that?
Well, you know, get a, what do they call it, prescription for that from your doctor?
Yes, and it also increases the circulation to that area, keeps the muscles strong in that area, helps with bladder control, helps with digestion, bowel movements. I mean, it really is, it's natural, and it's supposed to happen.
All right. Pat.
Yeah, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a question. What are some of the causes, if known, of fibroids? And also, isn't it true that this runs in your family? Like if you're a woman and your grandmother or your aunt?
All right, let's get to that answer because we only have a short period of time. What are the causes of fibroid, and is it hereditary?
It is hereditary. It's genetic, mother to daughter. It's seen in all races. Chinese get it. Filipinos get it. Everybody gets it. Mexicans get it. The whole world gets fibroids. It's fat in the diet may have a role in it, but basically it's genetic.
Mm.
And we don't know all the mechanisms, and different hormones can have different tumors in your body with different hormones reacting to it too.
But you know,
we have 30 seconds here.
Okay. It didn't run in my family. I mean, and some of the women have it, and my mother didn't have it, and I do. So it's not always transferred down. The women didn't.
Contact information. Dr. Kincaid.
Dr. Kincaid, you can reach me at 314-644-0000, drrosakincaid.com.
drrosakincaid.com, and also Dr. Huffnagel, contact information.
Yes, you can call our office at 323-874-5530. That's 323-874-5530. You can speak with our staff, and we will be working with Dr. Kincaid in your area to educate you and offer you new alternatives in medicine with ethical medicine focus.
Dr. Vicki Huffnagel, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Wellness 101.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Kincaid. Same time, same place next week. Is it cooking time yet?
No, not yet.
All right. See you next week.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Thank you for listening this week. And as you know the drill, stay strong.
More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.